It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
Really? Hey.
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
There's Robert Clotworthy in Los Angeles. Welcome, Robert. Robert is the voice of the History Channel. Robert is the voice of ancient aliens. He is the voice of Oak Island Gold. And he is a good friend of mine. He has given us tremendous production support like this.
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
That's amazing. The man does things like that on one take. But what I wanted to talk to Robert Clotworthy tonight about is the amazing body of work he has done to voice the ancient aliens, the ancient alien shows, and to determine its impact on your life. Robert, welcome to the Giant Radio Show. Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network, a nationwide network of giant 50,000 watt and big FM radio stations. Hi, Robert.
Wow, that's welcome. Hey, thank you very much. This is terrific. I always enjoy speaking with you.
And I enjoy speaking with you. How many seasons of Ancient Aliens have there been?
We are in our 18th season. We've done close to 300 episodes now. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I think it just gets better and better. The shows we've got coming up in this season are terrific, and there's already talk of a season 19. So, come on. We're not going to stop. We can't stop.
All right. Now, because of the generosity of your time, please share with us some of the episodes that are coming up, some of the topics that are coming up worth looking forward to. What are some of the things you'd like to talk up?
Well, I know we're doing a show about the pyramids, but because there's new information that's coming out, and that's going to be pretty fascinating. I'm looking forward to that one. That's probably my favorite. I just love everything about that, the mysteries that are associated with it, how those things could have been built, why they were built, where they are located, and that the longitude is exactly the speed of light in meters per second, which is a crazy, crazy thing. It's exciting. Every time I go into the studio, it's new information.
Now, do you feel, as I do, that guy who's head of the Egyptian antiquities is a major stumbling block in learning more about the pyramids, or does he know everything and doesn't want to tell?
I from my perspective, yeah, we've had some roadblocks. We've had some issues getting the information, but we're not going to stop. Come on. I mean, curiosity is going to drive us, and we're going to get that information out.
Right. Now, what you're going to reveal about the pyramids, I know you're not going to share tonight, but over all the seasons and all the narrations and all the scripts mm-hmm. you've gone through about the pyramids, one or two things about the pyramids that really struck you, that like, whoa, this is a major surprise to me.
Well, it's interesting. First of all, that stat that it's the speed of light meters per second, that's either the latitude or longitude. If you look it up, you look at it, 37 numbers past the decimal point, it's exact. I also had a conversation with a fellow who is an expert on stone making, and he said that in his estimation, the perfection, he went out there with like a stone measuring tool, the perfection that's associated with it to make everything exactly as accurate as it is nearly impossible to do. In fact, I asked him, I said, if you had unlimited budget, you had all the technology that's available now, how long would it take you to build a pyramid? I thought he would say, well, it would take 100 years. He said, we couldn't make it. We have a hard time delivering countertops that are perfect. to think that we could build a pyramid like that. And he thought that it was purposely designed to look old. Like it was like distressed in a way, purposely to throw you off.
Like a set.
Because almost like a set. And we're finding more and more information. I think I just read something the other day that they think there's all these chambers underneath the pyramids that they haven't explored yet, didn't even know were there.
What about the theory that was presented on your show that they were not quarried? These were made out of molds. This was a molten material poured into a mold, and then when it hardened, it looked like granite.
Yeah, you know, I talked to this stone guy about that, and he felt that it was, in a way, that's the only way you could possibly do it. But the amount of heat that you would need to generate to cause this stone to become somewhat molten, so you could manipulate it like that. That's a technology that they certainly didn't have at that time. That's really rough to do, and to do it on that scale is insane.
Robert Clotworthy, the voice of Ancient Aliens, the voice of Oak Island Gold, or the curse of Oak Island Gold, or as you pointed out, all gold on the History Channel seems to be cursed. Curse of the Civil War gold, curse of Hitler's gold. It's all cursed. What other episodes should we look forward to besides the pyramid ones?
Oh, my goodness. I think we're doing an episode about, I want to say, George Knapp. So we're exploring all kinds of information. I don't have a list in front of me. I don't want to know what they are necessarily. I go in there and I'm surprised and think, oh, this is fascinating. This is cool. Oh, I know we did one. It was very, very recent about underwater exploration at the, you know, say, for example, the Chinese, I think, are building a structure underneath the ocean so that they can explore what's happening down there. And what's happening underneath the oceans, the seas, the rivers, the lakes are truly fascinating. That's something that we have not explored yet. You know, there's a lot of stuff on Earth that we have not even begun to explore and question. So that's another one I found to be quite fascinating.
Robert Clotworthy, the voice of Ancient Aliens, the voice of the History Channel, in the ratings, Which topics always win?
Well, we used to do, we would affectionately call this the Halloween episode, one that has a little bit scary, a little bit creepy. And those are some of my favorites. One where we kind of tweak it a little bit to kind of, you know, add that element to it. So those are some of my favorites. My absolute personal favorite of all time has to do with the moon, because I find the moon to be absolutely fascinating. It just makes no sense as to why it is, where it is, why it is. And those are my favorite episodes.
Do you believe it is a artificial satellite?
I've spoken to people who say they've heard the ringing of the moon, that it is hollow. And these are people that worked at NASA, and that NASA had set up these devices on the surface of the moon to, I guess, monitor to see if there were moon quakes.
Right.
And when the LEM module would crash into the moon, they actually heard the moon vibrate, and it would vibrate for a long period of time. So I think there's a very, very good possibility that it is. And also, you know, this NASA scientist said that the craters in the moon, you would expect them to be much deeper than they are. They're not. There's all kinds of questions. She has actually seen structures on the moon, photographs of structures on the moon. So I think there's a lot of questions about the moon that a lot of people have answers to that we just haven't been aware of yet.
Well, I heard Robert Clotworthy on one of the scripts say, there's references in mythology of a time before the moon, that there are references in our shared oral history of people telling stories about a time before the moon, that it was put there. And the other thing that fascinates me about the moon is I am so ashamed of myself as a broadcaster. A person said this on my show and I didn't catch it. There was a NASA payload specialist, a NASA space station payload expert. And she was retired and a killer guest like you. And I said to her, why haven't we gone back? This is before everybody was asking, why haven't we gone back? It was like 8 years ago. I said, why haven't we gone back? And she said the script. She said, because the plans we had for going to the moon have been taken home by scientists, thrown away. We sold off the land under the booster rockets. We trashed a lot of the booster rockets, blah, blah, blah. And that's what they've all said, almost in the same order. I can't believe I didn't say to her, wait a minute. We spent 20 years getting there, and we let the scientists take home the plans, and the ones they didn't take home got thrown away. Are you kidding me? And I didn't say that, but it makes no sense that we can't remember after 50 years how to get there. But I did ask her another question, Robert, that you can bring up to your producers, which seems like a fair question that no one else has asked. I said to her, has there been sex in space? And she said, yes. She said there was a married couple on the space station. There's a part of the space station with no camera or microphone, and I believe there was sex in space. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I believe that as well. And my whole issue with the moon, I asked the question, is it possible? Could it be? What if it were true? Those are the three questions we want answered.
It can't be true. And then the other evidence, the conversation about did we actually go at all, the most damning evidence that we didn't actually go at all is that press conference with the three astronauts right after they came home. And they all looked miserable. They didn't look excited. You've seen that with Buzz Aldrin Neil Armstrong. They were sitting there like comatose.
Well, I think, and I've spoken to people, that something happened up there. And that's why they were that way. You would think that if you go to the moon and you come back, you're a hero, you're going to talk about it. Neil Armstrong wouldn't talk to his children about it. I think something happened up there. And from what I understand from people who've worked at NASA, who have gone to parties and talked to astronauts, that's a common theme. They all have seen or experienced something out there that they cannot explain.
But do they describe? Have any of them described what they saw?
Well, yeah, I think I told you that I spoke to Ron Evans, who was the command module of Apollo 16, was followed around the moon for about 4.5 orbits. It was about 8 hours where this strange object, this cigar-shaped object, followed him in formation. And he not only took photographs of it, which have not been seen, he took video of it that has not been seen. He also drew pictures of it that have never been seen. And I spoke to somebody who spoke to him personally when he landed back on Earth in the support ship that picked him up in the ocean, and he described what he saw and said, this is not Russian, it's not American, I don't know what it was, but he'd never seen anything like that before in his life.
I don't understand why, as part of discovery, as part of doing a scientific expedition, we wouldn't have been in a fever to reveal what he saw. Look, this is what we discovered. It's part of the mission. We wanted to find out everything we could, and then we find out this major event, and they won't talk about it. Isn't that weird?
It's weird, and I asked her, what is the mindset at NASA? And she told me that at NASA, we just gather the information. Then we pass that off to the Brain Trust. They determine what it is, and they talk about it. In fact, she went to a meeting where she was told, nobody talks about this.
That's amazing. It really is. Robert Clotworthy, the voice of the History Channel. Is there a History Channel, an Ancient Alien Con coming up again, another convention that you're going to be at?
Not in the near future. For some reason, they've kind of put a hold on alien cons. Hopefully it would be coming back. I know they've had those ancient alien tours with Giorgio and William Henry and sometimes David Childress. Those are still going. I know they have one happening in something Santa Fe in about a month. Hopefully that will continue because that's a terrific show. And fingers crossed, they're going to bring back Alien Con, and we're going to be touring and going around and visiting people and talking to the fans, because it's a great thrill, and the fans love it, and we love doing it.
David Childress is a hoot, because whenever he's asked anything that's a little tricky, his answer is always the same. He always gets flustered, and his cheeks get even bigger, and he goes, isn't it possible that this has been considered for some time? It always starts with, isn't it possible? And yeah. I'm like, I don't know, David, you're supposed to be the expert there, buddy. And the other thing I have to brag about for you, Robert, is that my radio friends, my voiceover talent friends, last time Robert Clotworthy was on this show, he revealed the fact that his director-producer in the voiceover studio made an investment for him of a many, many thousand-dollar Neumann microphone. And I'm like, I am so jealous of that. I am just so jealous of that. What did he give you again? What did he give you?
Oh, there's like an MV40. I'm trying to remember what they are, because there's four or five of them there. And I asked him the other day, I said, how much money have you spent on this? And it's actually the engineer at the studio, not the producer. And he estimated it was probably between $20,000 and $30,000 in microphones. And I think I sent you a photograph of the setup, and it's insane. I feel like I'm at a press conference, and the sound is so beautiful.
It's incredible. Perfect.
The sound floor is it's perfect. It's we describe it as it just sounds like cream. It's just like liquid cream. It's just beautiful. It's just a wonderful, wonderful setup.
Yeah. Well, that would be your voice, buddy. Robert Clotworthy.
Oh, thank you.
The voice of Ancient Aliens, the voice to the History Channel. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on the Red Apple Odyssey. No, let me get this right. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
Just play my promo. I said it right.
You did say it right. You always say it right.
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
That guy's good.
He's good. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter.
You bet. It's 22 past the hour, 23 past the hour with Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's another side of midnight.
Rural Americans deserve access to the best of what our country has to offer, especially health care. Across every state, every community, America's rural hospitals are the first line of defense, protecting our families, neighbors, and loved ones. No matter where you live, hospital care doesn't clock out. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Each year, America's over 5,000 hospitals care for millions of patients, providing 24/7 emergency care, delivering babies, cancer treatments, and other life-saving care that patients rely on. Behind every one of those patients are doctors, nurses, and caregivers working tirelessly to keep people healthy and safe. Hospitals are our community's lifelines. They employ our neighbors and keep our families healthy. But now, some in Congress are threatening access to care. Tell Congress, protect patient care to keep America strong. Don't cut rural health care.
It's another side of midnight.
Political humorist TJ McCormick.
Now to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's TJ McCormick.
It's 25 past the hour with Walter Sterling. Good evening. It's a live radio show, and you and I can talk at any time at 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. The important overriding theme to consider in everything you and I talk about is that nothing is the way it seems. There is a veil over all of our lives that separate us from the day-to-day, what you and I want to look at, and the truth, which we rarely want to look at. In history, there was a country about a third the size of China, a third the size of China, and it was there. And then over the years between 1842 and 1942, it was slowly erased from maps. It was erased from classrooms. It was made to disappear. It was an erasure of history. And it took about 100 years. And at the same time, there were about 4,000 years added to our calendars to push up the dates, to adjust the dates. And all of the calendars were adjusted a couple hundred years ago. What? You and I are looking at the world and at time through a lens put up by not us and by not science, by other agendas. We imagine that the public school system is a good idea. Everybody needs to go to school, learn to read, write, and arithmetic. But I'm haunted. I'm haunted by this conspiracy. I'm haunted by what the original Rockefeller said about school. He was the one who promoted, funded, built public schools throughout the country. It was his school system. Why did David Rockefeller need a school system? Well, he needed workers. He said, I am not interested in a population of students. I'm interested in a population of workers. Notice the parallels between the factory, the public schools, and prisons. In the morning, there's a bell. It's a nasty sounding bell. Not pretty chimes, not singing, not Swiss yodeling, not church bells, not church bells. Those were all taken away. The church bells were all taken down. Now you got some bad PA system in some cities, but many cities say, no, we had to stop that because so many people were offended. They were offended by the sound of church bells. Really? Were you offended by the sound of church bells? Many cities said, no, we have to take those down. And it was stopped. Not put to a vote, not put to a community governing vote. No, it was they stopped. When you were a kid, you could hear church bells almost every day of the week, sometimes every day of the week. You could hear it from multiple churches. Do you hear it anymore? No. No, what we hear are nasty bells. We hear cruel bells of 8:10, 8:15, 8:20 in the morning, the bell schedule. What do you mean the bell schedule? Yes, you must learn to obey the bells. When you were in school, it wasn't called a bell schedule. It was called a school schedule. Well, now it's called a bell schedule. And pay attention to the bells. Okay. Factories work the same way. You go to the Ford plant, the Chevrolet plant, anywhere in America. There are three-shift plants. Those are three-shift plants, right? And they run on bells. And then you go to prisons. They run on bells. The public school system is set up exactly the way the prison system is set up. Same way. Pay attention. In public schools, the kids come in at 8:20. And what do they have to do? They are greeted by who? A loving teacher, a charming principal, the flower lady, music. How are they greeted? They're greeted by a uniformed guard. Most schools greet their kids with a uniformed guard, a rent-a-cop, an off-duty cop. They greet them, and what does the rent-a-cop say? Get in line. You need to be in a single line, and you need to be quiet. If you're not quiet, you're going to go to the principal's office. The warden's office. You're going to go to the warden's office if you're not quiet. Is that the best we can do? Is that the best we can do for our kids? Is that the way I want my kid greeted? No. No, it's not. And then they have to get in a single line. They have to go. And then if they want to go to the bathroom, just like in prison and in many factories, they have to get permission. They have to get a permission slip to walk down the hall. That is why I know many of you are just, what the hell is, what's the deal with these giant water bottles? The deal with the giant water bottles is that when you wanted to go get a drink of water, you raised your hand, said, I need a drink of water, and teacher let you go get a drink of water. Well, that's not true anymore. No, there's no public school where the kid can go out and get a drink of water. That isn't going to happen. That's why they need the giant Stanley mugs, because they can't just go out and get water. How did that happen? Many public schools have very strict rules about when they can go to the bathroom, and they have to hold it. Now, the Philadelphia public schools just got rid of that this week. They decided to go to a wellness approach to school, to teach the kids how to take care of themselves and respect their bodies and feel good and not feel bad that they have to go to the bathroom. And as a result, throughout the country, there are school systems where the kids in elementary school, they have to send their kids to school in diapers because they're not going to be allowed to go to the bathroom. I'm not making this up. This is all indoctrination for prison or for working long shifts in a factory. This is not the idea. Imagine, just think about this. Imagine you're nine and you have to sit in class for 3 or 4 hours, maybe with a diaper on. Try to concentrate on learning multiplication with a diaper on. Think about that. School has progressively become hell in little ways. Oh, well, it's not a big deal for them to have to wait to go to the bathroom. It sure as hell is. It sure as hell is, and it's wrong, and you know it's wrong, but you're not aware of it. Too often, these things get slipped in, and parents aren't asked permission. They aren't told that this is what we're doing with your kid. They aren't told why the kid needs to bring giant Stanley. And to me, the next line is they can't bring iPhones into the school. What do you mean you can't bring your cell phone into the school? No, we'll hold on to it till the end of school. Well, there's a problem with that. You see, the way it works when a kid is under 18, that phone isn't their phone. It's your phone. That phone is your phone. And did you give that school permission to take that phone from your kid? Because it's your phone. Did you give that school permission to take your phone away? Did it do that? No. What is this all about? This is all about your permanent record. When you were in school, you were threatened with your permanent record. This will go in your permanent record. Remember, Tony? This will go in your permanent record. If you don't behave, it'll go in your permanent record. What was that about? That was about control. Well, now, many a public school is controlling the bladder of your children, the drinking of fluids of your children, and your ability to communicate with your children with the cell phone you gave them on loan. It's not their cell phone. It can't legally be their cell phone until they're after 18, and then you can give it to them. But until they're 18, it's not their cell phone. It's yours. They're just carrying it around all day. And the reason that you and I give the kid a cell phone is we want them to have a cell phone. Many kids with ADHD and other mysterious illnesses, they get more nervous if they can't reach you or somebody they love or someone who protects them. This is all about your permanent record. What's the deal with permanent record, Walter? Did you ever see your permanent record? Did you ever see your permanent record? No, you didn't. And you know why? It doesn't exist. It didn't exist. Oh, yes, I know it did exist. No, it didn't. Some school systems had year-to-year records of what your grades were on a 100% scale and your attendance in order to get money from the state, in order to get their subsidies from the state, and maybe if you were suspended. That's it. Whether or not you passed notes to Jane, that's not in your permanent record. If you stayed late, if you put gum under the seat, if you threw something at the teacher, that's not in your permanent record. Because what your permanent record was about control. It was a diabolical, conspiratorial way to control you. it was one of the many conspiracies about control. The Bell schedule, taking the phone, what to wear, stand in a straight line, or you're going to go to the warden's office. These are conspiracies of control. And it continues. There are many other aspects in our lives every day that you don't realize, that I don't realize, are being done to control my behavior. But these are conspiracies of controlling behavior. Because remember what Rockefeller said, I want workers, and I have to train them to be workers, not thinkers, from the age of kindergarten. Bigger picture, does it make any sense that every kid has to go to school for 13 years? Does that make any sense? How did that happen? Oh, that happened to manage the farm population. That's because before 1880, there wasn't this 13-year nonsense. It wasn't until industrialists needed a well-trained, well-behaved population that it became necessary to go to school for 13 years, really? Because I think they could, a lot of kids would be done at sixth grade and have know everything they need to know. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Max in Manhattan, welcome to the other side of midnight with Walter M. Sterling. Hi.
Thank you, Walter. You were talking about the church bells and how there were less of them now than there were in the past. And might it be because they're being replaced by the mosques who come out and begin their singing and call to prayer at 5 a.m. every day?
Max, is that something you personally experience or something you imagine?
Personally experience. You can find it on YouTube and you can hear it, and for this, people tape this in front of the mosque and they put it on a YouTube channel. So you can see that also, or one can.
Max.
Yes.
I know I can see it on YouTube, but have you personally experienced it outside your home?
Yes.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Every day, 7 times a day, the call to prayer, seven times a day.
Well, I'm not going there every 7 times a day. Once in a while, I'll pass by. And yes, you can hear it, but it's known and they make no qualms about it that they do, that they have their call to prayer 5 times a day. And the first one begins by 5 a.m.
Yeah, the first one begins way too early. But thank you very much for the call, Max. My point isn't that they don't have calls to prayer 5 times a day. That is not why the church bells have stopped ringing. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you and I are talking about the conspiracy to control us. And the conspiracies to control us are profound. And as they go on, as it continues, as layer after layer after layer, we don't even feel it anymore. In 1980, 83, 85, massive campaigns throughout our country to force you and me to wear seatbelts in the car. That wasn't in the 60s or the 50s or the 40s. That was in the 80s that you're going to have to wear seatbelts in the car. And I know many a talk show host in the country who made this a cause célèbre. There was no way that they were going to force it because it was unenforceable. Seatbelt laws were unenforceable. And what one of the hosts used to say is, all right, I'm leaving the radio station at 6 p.m. tonight, and I am not going to have on my seatbelt, and I challenge you to stop me as I drive out of the building. And, of course, nobody ever stopped him because it was unenforceable. And we all just slowly rolled over and let it become an offense. In no state, by the way, is it a primary offense. You cannot be stopped for not wearing your seatbelt. You can get an add-along bonus ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, but they can't stop you for wearing your seatbelt. It's 40 minutes past the hour. Walter M. Sterling, this is The Other Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
In there, if a woman walked through there with high heels, she'd trip. I'm like, it looked like the service department of a bad automobile place in northern New Jersey. It just was hideous. I said, what kind of margins are you pulling here? And he said, oh, we do 70%. I said, you do 70% what? He said, yeah, we do 70% cash flow, EBITDA, 70% EBITDA. And I looked at him and I said, that's too much. You got to spend some money on a carpet. As I understand it, the margins in the supermarket industry are 1% to 2%. Well, that's a tough business. The other thing I understand, and one day I'm going to get John Catsimatidis on the show to talk about this, is I've read a lot about where they place groceries in supermarkets to get us to buy, to get us to not buy. Where they put things. Now, the obvious one is they put the milk in the refrigerator in the back of the store, and that way we have to walk to the back of the store, and we look at all of the other things. But at the same time, I read another statistic, another fact about the placement of food in supermarkets, that whatever they put right at the door, also true in department stores for clothes, whatever they put right at the door, that's not going to sell. People walk right past that. They either think, I don't need that right now, or it's too cold near the door, or I'll see it on the way out. They put whatever they don't really need to sell, or they don't think they're going to sell, right at the door. All right, Walter Sterling, good evening. I have a, oh my gosh, the high point of my career. No, I'm not being sarcastic. I have an email. It's walter.sterling@wabcradio.com. walter.sterling@wabcradio.com, and I have a phone number, which is 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Danny in Boston, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi, Danny.
Oh, hi, Walter. There's a lot of things going on. I don't think anybody considers the fact what's going on in Iran. Eventually, most of those Iranians will end up in America. Millions of them. I don't know if we could take them in, but they're going to try to get them in one way or another. And then you talked about the school system. Well, the school system in America, most schools have been run the past 60 years by an indoctrination team.
Yes.
Not really interested in educating children.
No.
Who has a seven-year-old kid sit at a desk for 8 hours and maybe a half hour? They let him go for lunch in the cafeteria. Kids at one time were allowed to go out for lunch in first and second grade. That would never happen today. So our society has come apart. People are not as much engaged. There are parts of the country that people are engaged in schools and communities, but even then they can't get a handle on it because all you need is one or two indoctrinating types teachers in the classroom, and people don't know what's going on in there, and they've done it. They've had people basically believe what they believe. They brought their politics into the classroom, which is unacceptable. And I think we should emphasize more of a merit system, more of the big, you know, the mathematics, the English, the teaching of sciences, but also sports and entertainment for the kids. Make it a fun experience, and the kids will want to be there. Parents have to have more say and more visibility of what's going on there. There are teachers out there, let's face it, they're communists, and they want to indoctrinate your children. New York City, Mommy Tommy wants to put the kids in daycare at 2 years old. It's just a babysitting system that they've come up with, and they're going to use this to indoctrinate 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds. That's when you get them. They don't want us. They know they're not going to get us, but they want to get at the children, and that's why they indoctrinate. And also, let me just go back to what I said in the beginning. We can't take in 50 million Iranians into America, but they're going to make every attempt to get into here. And just watch out those two slick partners of Iran, Russia, and China. Believe me, they're not sitting by idly. Can I have a follow-up?
Danny, I didn't know it was a press conference. If you have the need for a follow-up, go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Iranians were taught to do what they've done the last 60 years by the Russians. You know, don't put on a military uniform, use proxies, arm all kinds of insurgents around, especially around that region of the Middle East. And a lot of Americans paid with their lives. A lot of people don't realize that they were, the American boys in October of 1983 were on it was an airport. They were on a runway where they set those barracks up. And about a mile and a half from the Americans were the French paratroopers who were getting up, heard the explosion, and then they were going to go and help the Americans. But within seconds, the French paratroopers were blown up too and murdered as they were getting up. The Marines were murdered in their sleep. There was also a Navy corpsman and some Army personnel there with the U.S. Marines. They were murdered in their sleep, and the French paratroopers were murdered when they were getting up to help the American soldiers.
Danny, yes. Thank you very much for the call. I'm really glad you kept saying murdered. It's not used enough. They were murdered. And I can't believe any idiots are saying that there was not an imminent threat from Iran. Are you kidding me? There was a daily threat. There was an hourly threat. Death to America. Death to Israel. Death to America. How much clearer could it be? Thank you very much for the call at 800-848-9222. I must tell you about Michelle Gibson. Listen to Walter Sterling about Michelle Gibson. Michelle Gibson, unlike a lot of people who have conspiracy theories, Michelle has actually researched the conspiracy theories. She has researched the subjects that you and I are fascinated by. For example, when you go to the Breakers, when you go up to Rhode Island and look at the Breakers mansions, and you look at the Gilded Age mansions, well, it turns out she was an expert in pattern recognition. Michelle Gibson, expert in pattern recognition. She could look at a map and see things that you and I cannot see. She immediately saw that there was a distinct pattern as to where those mansions were placed. They were placed in a specific juxtaposition to other mansions around North America. I'm like, what? And she explains it. She also explains that how it worked. There was a common theory, a popular theory, that the pyramids, the ancient pyramids, the ley lines throughout the world communicated, transmitted electricity and power to each other. And I've always thought that made sense, but how? Because today the ley lines, the pyramids, don't appear to be emitting much of anything. They appear to be very weak conducers of energy. Well, she explains that they didn't always. They weren't always. But the thing that intrigues me, and I spent a day getting Michelle Gibson, I couldn't wait to talk to Michelle Gibson and share this information with you. There was a country called Tartaria. And Tartaria was about a third the size of China. A third the size of China. Have you seen it on a map? No. Did you hear about it in school? No. But if you go back 100 years and 150 years the way Michelle Gibson did, she found those maps. They were originally in school textbooks. You could find Tartaria in school textbooks. You could find it in maps that hung on chalkboard walls. You could find the history of it. And then over time, between 1842 and 1942, it was erased. Year after year, it was erased from textbooks, maps on the wall, history lessons. It was erased. It had some interesting features, according to Michelle Gibson, who you and I are going to hear from in 15 minutes. In 15 minutes on the Red Apple Audio.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's T.J. McCormick.
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
Red Apple Audio. UFOs.
Secrets Revealed, every weekend night, all night. This is the biggest all-night show in American radio. Good evening, I'm Walter Sterling. And I am fascinated by the work of Michelle Gibson, absolutely fascinated. She writes blogs, vlogs, but she is an expert on ley lines, pyramids, transmission of energy wirelessly, free energy. She's an expert on those railroad tracks near your house that have been there long before you were born, but no one remembers any train running on them. An expert on that. Tonight, she's going to talk about Tartaria. Tartaria. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk to Michelle Gibson. Michelle Gibson, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight. It is such a treat to talk with you, because whenever I mention the areas that you're interested in, you just mentioned pattern recognition. You're the first person I ever saw write an article about the placement of the great mansions, the Breakers, and other turn-of-the-century massive mansions by the wealthiest people of the day. You're the first one who ever seemed to have looked at a map and said, well, look at where they are and look at how they're organized. That's something I want to talk to you about coming up. But first, I'd like to talk to you about that period from about 1492 to about 1944, where there was an erasure of history, where there was a giant piece of history that was erased. And I just want to share with the listener 30 seconds about what I'm talking about, because not everybody knows. Tartaria was this, based on the maps, was about the size, half the size of China. It was about half the size of China. And year after year, in textbook after textbook, map after map, it was erased. It wasn't mentioned. It was denied. And then, even more, as time went on, it was made fun of. Tartaria, based on old maps, was very much there, a culture, and is a whole country that's in deep denial. So what I'd appreciate is if you could quickly go over that timeline from about 1400 to the mid-1940s. What the heck happened to Tartaria? And then we're going to ask you why. And then I'm going to ask you the bonus track, which is, who the heck did that?
Well, I definitely have some opinions about that, Walter. And I'm coming at this from the standpoint of somebody that received a ton of information living the course of my life, because I was interested in what's been hidden from us. And about, let's say, 9 or 10 years ago, I got the pieces that I needed to start putting this together into a big picture view, which is what my blog details, and I turned my blog post into videos. And I've been doing that since June of 2018, so almost 8 years. And when I received the information, I'm like, holy cow, I need to get this back out. How am I going to do that? And thankfully, I had the skill sets that I needed to be able to do it. And at the time, I felt like it was something I needed to do. I am introverted by nature. I'm a good writer. I'm a good organizer of information. I am good at pattern recognition. And when I got that push, I realized, okay, I got to get this back out there. I've got to show people what I'm seeing. And my work is basically connected to sacred geometry, ley lines, and the Moors, and a civilization that I see going back to Lemuria or Mu, and being the same civilization as Atlantis, and a civilization that existed up until relatively recently, and we're still living and working in the infrastructure of this vast civilization that was worldwide. Tartaria is how it's best known and how it came back into collective awareness. But from what I can see, it was Tartaria was one empire of many. And a civilization of ancient advanced humans that were larger than we are today. And they built this amazing civilization that was interconnected, that I believe connects to the Moors, are connected to the tribes of Israel, and I believe they're connected to the Aryans, the original Aryans, where you get the R in Tartaria. I'm working on something right now where I'm pulling together research that I've done primarily along ley lines, tracking ley lines, which is how I've gotten a lot of information, and looking at Persia / Iran with everything that's going on in the world today. And Iran has long been seen as like a cradle of the Aryans. But you find that R sound all over the earth, including in North America, like Arizona and Arkansas. And then you find common symbols. So like the lion and the sun flag that's come back into awareness with everything going on right now, with the lion holding a sword with the wings. I've seen on the remnants of what was called a wholesale grocery store in Fort Smith, it's the same exact symbol with the lion, with the wings, with the sword in Arkansas. That's just one example, and that's really fresh because I'm working on that right now.
Michelle, what do you feel that symbol means? What does each of those elements mean? Why is that found in location after location? What is it telling people who know what that means about that location?
I suspect it has to do with the original tribes of Israel and the Lion of Judah. That would be my intuitive take on that. Because there's another symbol that shows up, which is the eight-pointed star. And that's all over the place, too. The eight-pointed star, which connects back to the tribes of Israel and the constellations, the zodiac.
You mentioned that the people were much bigger than we are. And for years, I have read stories about how the Smithsonian has giant skeletons that nobody knows about, that take a look at the doorways from the 1850s, these incredible Gothic and government buildings that were built. But, gee, the doorways are 10 and 12 feet tall. Why would they need that? Could you just go on a little diversion and talk about the height of the people you think were involved?
Absolutely. And it sounds like you're well-versed in this subject, because those of us studying this area look at that fact constantly. Why would you build the buildings for a size for much larger people? Because that's what we're told in our narrative. And the 1850s is a good time. There's a lot going on in the 19th century, especially 1850, say like between 1850 and the early 1900s, where all this building was going on. And even during the Depression, they're supposedly building these massive buildings, which makes no sense. And that's part of the breakdown of the narrative. And so you have massive doors. You can even just look at the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., which was said to have been built between 1932 and 1935, which was in the middle of the Great Depression. Massive building, massive doors. One example of countless. And in the 19th century, there were articles in papers, newspapers, about giant skeletons on display at local venues like the library or in front of a store. And then in the 20th century, the giant skeletons went away and replaced by hoaxes. They're hoaxes. They're all hoaxes. So there's been this massive cover up of these giant skeletons, as well as the buildings and everything else. So those are key pieces of information that those researching this are looking at. And it makes no sense. So to get back to your original question to me about the 1492 to 19, I'm going to say 1942, but it's same, basically the same idea. And I definitely have an opinion about that, because when I started doing this research, I hit upon a timeline exactly between 1492 and 1942. It's a 450-year period of time, with the midpoint year being 1717. So there's 225 years on either side, and that's divisible by 9 into 50-year periods. And when I went and looked back throughout that time period, I found significant events happening every 50 years from 1492. So I call them like initiatory years. 1717 was interesting at the midpoint, because that's where the Premier Grand Lodge of England was founded in 1717. And that was the same year that they adopted the Anno Lucis calendar. And that's where they add 4,000 years to whatever year we're in for the Masonic calendar. And it's a big question, because there's a lot to it, because this timeline was overlaid over this original civilization, which was highly advanced and interconnected worldwide, like with the symbols of the lion and the sun and the sword and the eight-pointed star as symbols of this civilization, of a humanity that was highly advanced and, I believe, functioning in higher consciousness. I believe that civilization was deliberately destroyed by at least one attack, maybe several, on an energy grid that was worldwide. And this energy grid was like a free energy generating grid that powered everything on the earth. And we know nothing about it.
Well, let me ask you a key question before we talk about the destruction of it. Mm-hmm. In addition to free energy, which would be plenty, in your opinion and based on your research, what were some of the other advanced elements, characteristics of this civilization, which you claim was on a higher spiritual plane, which makes a lot of sense? And why was you said 4,000 years was laid over the calendar and adjusted the calendar by 4,000 years. Why did they do that?
So that was done by the Masons with their calendar. And other people have looked at the time, missing time. So they changed our perception of time and space, including the shape of the earth. So then you get into the whole, are we on a spinning globe or on a plane. So there's a lot of moving pieces within that. But they're definitely trying to make us ignorant of where we are in time and space, who we are, what we're capable of. And I think that hits into why was this done? It was for control and domination of the earth. I believe by negative beings, including fallen angels and, you know, negative entities, get into the AT concept. I'm not opposed to that idea as this colossal takedown of this civilization, hiding it from us, building a new world, their new world order on top of the ruins of the old world. And then proceeding to put a system in place that harvests not only the resources of this grid, the components, the gold, the silver, the copper, all the elements, but also our energy. So I feel like this original energy grid, which was for the good of all, was reverse engineered into what we would call the Matrix and know of as the Matrix. And all of this high tech infrastructure that we're living on top of was removed from our awareness. So there used to be railroad tracks everywhere, Walter. There was railroads and streetcars and subways all over the face of the earth. And the story goes, again, well, let's use the 1850 date as a marker. And they, like, 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, 1860s, they're building all these railroads through swamps, no less, in many cases. And then within a short period of time later, they were taking the tracks out and replacing them with roads and highways. So we drive on. So we had all of this transportation infrastructure already there. It was used by those that we would call the controllers, the globus, the elites. It was brought up and running in order to transport coal and iron ore and all of their mining, which they do a lot of, they're still doing a lot of mining of this. And when the mines were exhausted, in many cases, they took the railroads out. And the only thing that's left of them today are little teeny tiny things around town. Here in Prescott, Arizona, where I live, there's a utility box right across the street from the courthouse that has a picture of them digging out streetcar tracks from the one of the main roads here. Picture on this utility box in downtown. And then they only had that streetcar running from 1907 to like 1912. So just a few years before. We don't need that anymore. There was a fire here in Prescott, and great fires are another means by which this original civilization was destroyed. Wars in our modern history were all part of the destruction of this grid. So a lot of places like Hanoi and Manila in the Philippines had streetcars that were bombed during various wars. There was a streetcar system in Manaus in the middle of the Amazon jungle in Brazil. You can't even get there by car, really. I mean, there's like one 400-mile highway that's impassable. But in the 1850s, they built this sophisticated streetcar system there hasn't been there for a long time. And again, those are typical.
Right.
Typical examples.
Right. Michelle Gibson, we're talking with Michelle Gibson, an expert on all the things we're actually interested in: Tartaria, lost civilizations, the previous civilizations, the changes in our calendar, erased history, peeking under the veil of mystery that we live in. You go to many cities. I'm just reminded of things you said. In Cleveland, of all places, there is a vast, sophisticated subway system not used. The trains are still there. They stopped using it in 1940, but it's there. And when I was a kid and I'd walk through the suburbs of New Jersey, throughout the suburbs, buried into the streets, there were the tracks, and buried under brooks and streams that would have been logical pathways for trains, there were the tracks. And I always found that to be amazing. But also, a lot of the photographs, and you pointed this out, I learned this from you. You look at these Gothic cathedrals, you look at these Beaux-Arts government buildings that are astonishing and huge, and then you look at the pictures of when they were being constructed, quote, constructed, and they were surrounded by dirt roads. They were surrounded by construction workers using horse-drawn carts to allegedly bring construction material to buildings that, gee, they seemed fine. And then even more interesting, we see that the dates that these buildings were built and the names these buildings had were clearly erased. There was dermabrasion on that concrete, and new dates were put in. It's an astonishing play on our history. Now, in Tartaria, who were the people? Who were the people who built it and occupied it? Are their descendants still alive today, or were they erased?
I believe that we do have original civilization still in existence, but they've been genocided terribly and persecuted terribly. So again, I think it connected to the Moors, is connected to who are connected to the tribes of Israel, who are connected to the Aryans, I believe. And the entities behind this that I don't believe are human have latched on to their legacy, taken credit for everything, and proceeded to subjugate and treat these people horribly. And so it gets a little, it looks a bit confusing, because then you get into the whole racial issue, which has been used to divide humanity. Religions have been used to divide us humanity. But I don't think that was the case originally, that humanity was in a harmonious and balanced relationship with each other. The empires that we're taught were at war with each other were actually working together. And we've just been given this whole fabricated history to get us to think we're at the most advanced we've ever been when we're not. And that in order to control us and our energy and replace the original humanity, which was connected directly to the Creator, with this messed up controllable version of humanity, which we're seeing play out today.
Now,
and that's one of the advantages to being a truther right now. We're seeing the whole agenda, you know, the last few years with all of the transisms, transhumanism, transgenderism, all of that to bring about a humanity that is controllable and use that energy, which is also connected to the Creator for true humans, and harvest that. And then if somebody is connected directly to the original humans, they don't want that human to exist, the one that has the higher abilities.
Right. Let me ask you about the energy grid, which has always fascinated me. Whenever we study the pyramids around the world and the theory that they may have been connected in some way, the ley lines, which were gifts from the earth to communicate energy throughout the earth. How do you believe this free energy was communicated, and how do you believe it was stopped?
It may still be very much in play, to start with that part of it. But I do believe that it was a pyramid-based energy grid. Everything was lined up perfectly with the heavens. So Earth is a mirror of what's going on in the heavens. And I believe that it was a synergistic system that worked together, and that the Earth energies of the ley lines were groomed in such a way, in accordance with this energy grid, that it connected everything together. It connected the people of the civilization. It connected the earth with heaven. And it was a beneficial system. It benefited all life. And a lot of the knowledge about the ley lines came back through dowsers who were dowsing these energy lines. John Michel, Hamish Miller, Hugh Newman are names that come to the mind, because when I was first getting the information I needed to do this work, I was watching their stuff on Megalithomania, which is on a YouTube channel, conferences that were organized and posted in different places. And these earth energy researchers were talking about what they were finding on these ley lines. And so that was like an early bit in my education that guided me in that direction. And again, I think this was all working hand in glove. And the conspirators are actually the ones that destroyed the civilization and gave us the world we're living in today.
Michelle Gibson, a brilliant journalist, researcher, academic, and the most thoughtful person I have ever read about these subjects that you and I have shared tonight. Michelle, take the time to tell us exactly how to find you online.
My main website is piercingtheveilofillusion.com. My YouTube channel is at Michelle Gibson 8946. I have a Substack. I have some ebooks. I have a collaborative project with some other people called The Liar's Mask, L-Y-R-E apostrophe S, M-A-S-Q-U-E. Those are in my, the links for all that, all of my platforms are in my video descriptions. And I did email you those links, Walter, if there's a place that you have to put them. And
They will be heavily promoted, Michelle. And I hope that this was not a painful experience for you, because I need you to come back on this radio show.
I would be happy to. And it sounds like this is a subject that you've been tuned into for a long time.
Michelle Gibson, one destination online to go, because in radio we can only absorb a little at a time. So just name one that you'd like us to go to for sure.
As far as my platforms?
Yes.
I would start with my blog.
Got it. And what's the address of that?
It's www.piercingtheveilofillusion.com.
Piercingtheveilofillusion.com. You will have no idea how many times I'm going to say that phrase on this radio show tonight and tomorrow night. And I will bother you all week to get you on again soon. Michelle, an honor. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for being on the Red Apple Audio Network with Walter Sterling. All right, it's 33 past the hour. You and I can talk live, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. What'd you say?
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, good evening on the Red Apple Audio Network. We have learned too much tonight. There are nights when you can learn a little, other nights when you learn too much. We heard Robert Clotworthy share a fascinating theory about the Egyptian pyramids, which is that they were a set. They were built to look older than they were. One of the things I've always said to him and anybody else who will listen to me, and who would listen to me, is I say they always talk about the fact that the original casing stones were stolen from those pyramids and put onto buildings in Cairo. They helped build buildings in Cairo. And I said, but I have never once seen a picture of one of those buildings that apparently was built out of casing stones from the pyramids. I've never seen it. They'd be sort of easy to identify, don't you think? And Robert said, you know what? I really should ask the producers about that. And then he said, well, actually, there's a theory that those pyramids were built to look old, much older than they were. I'm like, wow. And then we heard the stunning Michelle Gibson. Michelle Gibson, generous with her time. I'm so grateful to her, because I knew that unlike a lot of people who talk about Tartaria and other theories, she'd actually done the research. She had walked the walk. She had explored the sites. She had traveled thousands of miles to see these things in person. And it was fascinating to hear her talk about, gee, why were the buildings built with 8 and 9 foot high doorways in 1880? And why were there all those railroad tracks all over America of trains where there's no record of them using those tracks? And Tartaria, what was it? Who built it? And why did it go away? And it went away because of free energy. Because of the threat of free energy. The same reason that the Tesla died broke. Pamela in New Jersey at 800-848-9222. Welcome to Walter Sterling and the Other Side of Midnight. Hi, Pamela.
Hi. On the same theme, you know, the some say that the Titanic was sunk to get rid of the industrialists. And in many ways, in my opinion, it could have brought on the Russian Revolution and World War One. It was a predecessor to all of that, the changing world, and because it did rock the world.
J.P. Morgan's major competitor was on the Titanic, and a number of other threats to J.P. Morgan Chase were on the Titanic. Can you remember any of the other names that were on that Titanic, Pamela, that were a threat to the established banking institutions?
Well, wasn't Astor and Strauss part of that? I know the husband died.
Yes.
And the wife survived. And it just got, you know, only the wealthy could afford to go on the Titanic. So in one foul swoop, you got rid of all of them.
Well, and look at that, Pamela. The wife always survives. Thank you very much for calling. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. In Westchester, there's Bob. Welcome to Walter Sterling and the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
Thank you. That was Michelle is, like, really interesting. I really would have liked to ask her. Couldn't get through. But maybe you did ask her, or maybe you bring it up. Does she have any thoughts about the Nephilim that are mentioned in the Bible, the giants? That's what caused the flood to destroy the giants.
She did acknowledge in her belief that until about 1900s, giants walked the earth. And
right, Dake in his Bible actually has a footnote saying, well, the giants weren't totally destroyed by the flood. Which
no.
is his conjecture, you know. But, I mean, it was the marriage of the Nephilim and human women that caused the flood, because God didn't want a mixed race of half-humanoids.
Bob, thank you very much for the call. There's always trouble. There's always trouble. If I dabble into the Bible, this will lead to a debate about the Bible, and it will result in zero ratings. And our goal here tonight, besides sharing the incredible information that Michelle Gibson had and being vaguely entertaining, is we want giant ratings. Steve in Beverly Hills, congratulations for getting through to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi, Steve.
Fascinating information on ley lines, and your guest, Michelle, she is wonderful. I worked for the Mormon Church, and I'm not telling you anything that's classified. The ley lines are the meridian and the base lines. Jesus came in the meridian of time, and he came in the base of seasons. Hence, we have a document called the Times and Seasons. But the 00 point for the world is actually Salt Lake City, Utah. In fact, I worked for the mayor of Salt Lake City. He was a four-term mayor, Rocky Anderson. Perhaps he's listening. And our expressed mission was to acquire the 00 point of the world, which is buried under what's called Main Street Plaza. Now, this is also on TripAdvisor, Expedia. It's a destination, actually. And it's the 00 point for the world, including Washington, D.C. I'd like to present to you a really perplexing matter concerning the presidents. And that would be...
How did we get from ley lines to the president?
Ah, because Brigham Young has a lot to do with Ulysses S. Grant. And this is a mystery that you won't get until you figure out that no president has met another president between James Madison and William McKinley, because they are the same president. And the first ladies are the same first ladies. Literally.
You believe they were cloned.
No, they are the same person. And here's the kicker. They are still living. This is why Elon Musk says there are people on Social Security who are around 150 years old. Now, I don't know anyone. I'm not going to reveal a lot of this, but...
Well, wait a minute. Bucko, hold on. You're not going to reveal a lot of what? I expect you to reveal it, or why did you call it? We don't know your name. We don't know
where
you live.
Maybe in the future. I know you're coming up to a break. I don't want to break the
No,
break,
I'm not coming up to a break. No, hey, my show. Okay. No, my show. We're not coming up to a break.
All right.
I want to know what it is that you can't reveal as an anonymous human.
I can reveal to you this. I did work for the Mormon Church to rediscover the history of Salt Lake City. And Salt Lake City, I can tell you that the buildings were there before the Mormons arrived in Emigration Canyon.
I believe that.
The buildings. You believe that? Good. Good for you, Walter.
Oh, I do. And I'll tell you why. And I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for the call. The reason
Thank
I believe
you, Walter.
It.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The reason I believe it is because I have strong ESP for being haunted. I have a strong feeling about places that are haunted and places that have a different, entirely different energy flow. One of those places that I felt that was Salt Lake City. I was there once. I was spooked every second that I was there. Every second it felt like the dimensions weren't right. The distances didn't feel right. Everything looked much further away than it was. And these were beautiful days. I was there on, the weather was great. The architecture is interesting, although spooky. All of it scared me. I can't explain it. The only other place that scared me like that was Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, Florida, the home of the Home Shopping Club and the Christian Network. And that other religion, also scary. Both of those places, there was an energy field that was just terrifying. Did you ever have that feeling? Did you ever go to a place where you went, no, we're not renting here. We're not going to eat here. We're not driving through here. The only time I ever heard my wife react like that, it was, we were on South Orange Avenue in South Orange, New Jersey, in July, and it was 100 degrees, and I knew a shortcut to go from my parents' house in North Jersey to New York City. And I wanted to go on South Orange Avenue at like 7 p.m. on a July night, and as we approached the top of this mountain, the South Mountain, every 10 feet was a police car with the lights on. Every 10 feet, the lights were on, and they were just parked. They were not pursuing anybody. They were just parked. And my wife says, "Turn around now." I said, "What?" She says, "Turn around now." It was the most sure I've ever heard her. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I trust that feeling when I walk into a place, an apartment, a house, a street, and I can feel it. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here right now. And I felt that in Salt Lake City. I felt it in Tampa Bay, Florida. And I felt it in Romania at night. I was in Romania for a couple evenings, couple nights, in Bucharest, not Budapest. That's Hungary. In Bucharest, Romania. And it was just like the movies about Transylvania and Dracula. It was exactly like that. It was foggy. There were Gothic cathedrals all over the place. There were short, squat women with giant long brooms sweeping the sidewalk at 8 o'clock at night. There were, in fact, gypsies everywhere running up to you asking for money. They didn't play the violin. They just would run up to you, ask for money, and not leave you alone. And it was a spooky place. Bucharest, Romania is a spooky place. And it was also very interesting because I was there on business. And it was right after the dictator had fallen. And I had pronounced the dictator's name, but I can't pronounce that name. It was right after it, but it had been under Soviet rule until a couple years before we got there, which meant that everybody had been assigned a job. You forget that before the Soviet Union fell, the people who lived in the Soviet Union, quote, communism, socialism, they were all told what jobs they were going to do. And now I'm sitting around at a lunch with 10, 15 people who run the radio station in Bucharest, Romania. And I say to them what I would say in any other group of people in radio. I'd say to them, so what'd you do before you worked here? What'd you do? And I figured they were going to say, well, I was the music director of CFRB. Well, I was the program director of JJJJJ. Okay, that's what I thought they were going to say. And one after the other looked at me and said, oh, I ran a bulldozer. What? I drove a taxi. I built buildings. I ran an aquarium. They had all been in the professions they were assigned to by the Romanian dictator government. The Romanian dictator government. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. This is the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
Walter M. Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network. Good evening. This is the biggest all-night show in American radio, and I enjoy being with you. If somebody said to me, you know, Walter, we think it'd be really good for you to do Morning Drive, I would say, no, it would not be really good for me to do Morning Drive. I couldn't think of a worse hell than to have to do Morning Drive. You want to know why it'd be hell to do Morning Drive? Well, first of all, real money runs through there. They're very serious. Everybody gets very serious about Morning Drive. Secondly, I've never known a situation where the morning man is really happy, and therefore I don't want to volunteer for that. What else? Oh, yeah, you get all kinds of notes from advertisers and general managers and program. Who needs that? This way, no one's going to bother me. I get great notes from the owner of the Red Apple Audio Network. Thank you, John. Those are the kind of notes we need. Ron in Stanford, welcome to 800-848-9222. Welcome to the big show. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, so the dictator of Romania was Nicolae Ceausescu.
And now, I think what's important. Go ahead and say what you were going to say. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that he and his wife were both abducted and murdered on Christmas Day of 1989 to end that reign of terror.
I want you to describe how they were murdered.
I believe they were hanged in the public square. I could be wrong, but I believe that's what it was.
That's the end result of socialism. That's why I wanted you to say it. These were horrible people who maintained control of that. That was the worst of the Soviet Union dictatorships, the worst. And it was interesting because when I went there, it was short, like a year and a half, 2 years after. And Bucharest is a beautiful city. And I got there when they were embracing capitalism. And there was a Tiffany's and an Hermes and every high-end store you could imagine, and they were doing just fine. They couldn't wait to become capitalists.
Oh, absolutely. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. You know, after years of suppression and everything like that, they just wanted to come forth and, you know, give it whatever they could to make their best lot in life.
Did you get to hear Michelle Gibson, our guest, moments ago?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
She explained everything about Tartaria. Do you know about Tartaria, Ron?
Vaguely. But, I mean, isn't that where they were murdered?
Exactly. Thank you very much for calling. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. It's always exciting, isn't it? Coming up, you and I are going to hear from Ross Coulthart. Ross Coulthart has the inside information on what Trump is going to say about UFOs and about why it's taken a little while, and more amazing, in conspiracy theory land, millions of pages of information about the UFOs disappeared right after he said, I'm going to reveal everything. It seems that right after he said, I'm going to reveal everything, millions of pages of UFO information in the government's hands disappeared. I believe there are two secret governments, two permanent governments. One is the permanent government that shares information with the presidents of the United States, and the other is the secret government that shares information with no one. And they sort of look over the president, decide how long he's going to be there, how much power he's going to have, and they decide whether or not to tell that president the truth about the UFOs. And then if they think there's any possibility the information won't be handled properly, they don't tell that president any information about the UFOs. What I've never understood is, why is this a secret at all? Until I finally remembered that, what? Oh, yes, we're in a capitalist society. I forgot, we're in a capitalist society. And if our military captured downed UFOs, either that crashed or that we helped to crash, well, those are very valuable. And companies like Raytheon, Bell Labs, Lucent, Motorola would all love to have the technology in those UFOs, wouldn't they? And that would be something that they could pay a lot of money for. But then once they paid a lot of money for it, they'd want to keep it proprietary. They'd want that information for themselves until they could parse it out and sell it piece by piece. What would the pieces be? Night vision, lasers, anti-gravity, unique propulsion systems, metals that were impenetrable. I've never bought the theory that UFOs crashed. If they came from a gazillion light years away, I can't imagine they crashed in our atmosphere. I believe they could have been shot down. Perhaps they came from a culture that didn't have weapons. It never occurred to them to make weapons, and they couldn't defend themselves. It's possible. We don't know. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Now, about clones.
What you're seeing right now with Trump is clones. That is not him. We've talked about this before, but some of the people around him, so say he's in an interview and then he kind of deflects and lets people answer questions for him. These are also the handlers of a clone. And some of these people are also not human.
Well, Biden's clone was exposed in the files.
I know.
He died in 2019.
Yeah, he's been gone a long time. Bill and Hillary, how Congress is pulling them in for the Epstein, they've been gone a long time too. So they are now interacting with clones of Hillary and Bill.
That makes sense, because they barely do any public appearances anymore. They used to do a lot.
Yes, they've been gone for a long time, along with many other people. When we get to the top, there's so many people who are not human.
I want to tell you my conspiracy theory about Savannah Guthrie's mom. That's coming up in just seconds. Walter M. Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network.
Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's TJ McCormack.
Many, many sides of midnight, an astonishing number of sides of midnight. Walter M. Sterling at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. A violent tornado ripped through western Oklahoma, lifted a vehicle into the air, killing a teacher and her teenage daughter last night. Jody Owens and her daughter Lexi were found dead Thursday night inside their van near a highway intersection outside Fairview in Major County. Officials believe the deaths were caused by the deadly tornado that struck as a powerful storm system still battering swaths of the country, unleashed destructive winds, large hail, multiple twisters across the region. Obviously a major, major weather nightmare. Around 32 million Americans currently are under some form of extreme weather alert as forecasters track a volatile weather pattern stretching from North Texas to the Great Lakes. More than 7 million people are in the highest threat zone for severe weather spanning from parts of Missouri, Oklahoma, Nebraska, nearly 25 million more under a broader risk area that includes Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Milwaukee. It's the whole Midwest. In Michigan, at least 4 people were killed after a large tornado tore through the Union Lake area. That's about 125 miles west of Detroit. That was last night. Officials are urging residents to prepare shelter plans and monitor alerts as they warned of tennis ball-sized hail and potentially deadly gusts. The greatest potential for a few strong tornadoes and still very large hail should exist across the eastern portions of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, into western Arkansas, Missouri, and southern Iowa, an alert from the National Weather Service. That's the situation with the tornadoes, which was just a remarkable, surprising event. About Savannah Guthrie's mom, does it make any sense? Let's just talk about this a minute. Does it make any sense about Savannah Guthrie's mom? Yes, of course, we're all weary of hearing about all of that. But here's the evidence. There is none. Savannah Guthrie's mom disappeared. And the narrative, the framing of this, this conspiracy, the framing of it is that she was kidnapped for a ransom of Bitcoin. Well, there's a big problem. In order to get a ransom, you need to show life. You need to show that the person is alive. There has been no evidence that Savannah Guthrie's mother is alive. The first piece of evidence needed to get money in a ransom is to show that you have what you're asking ransom for. Okay, well, nobody's done that. Next, if you're going to say we need money, you need a return address. There's been no return address. There's been we want money, and this is the money we want, but there's been no return address, and then we haven't heard from them again. No return address, no response. Here's $1 million, here's $10 million, whatever you want, no response. No body, no sign of life. So the frame is, look over here, America, look over here, look in this picture. Okay, we're all looking there for a sign of life, a return address, and it isn't there. And we keep being distracted to that frame, but that frame is not the truth. It hasn't been the truth since the beginning of this event. It never was. I believe, in my opinion, very sad, is that the minute Savannah Guthrie's mom was approached by whomever, she was killed. And not held for kidnap, not held for ransom. She was killed. And in a very violent struggle on that porch, because that's where the blood was. Blood wasn't in her bedroom. The blood was on the porch. My instinct is that there was a lot of money there, and she had a nice big house, and that whoever she had dinner with, they had a big argument. They had a big argument, and they either went with her to her house after dinner, and they had a fight, or they went back to her house after dinner and they had a fight on the porch, and that was the end of it. There was a lot of money there. My instinct, and again, it's just my opinion, is that they fought over money at dinner. Whoever was arguing with her over money at dinner did not like what she was saying. Maybe she, you know, she was in her 80s. She was about to die. Maybe they found out that they were not in her will, or that the home was not in her will. And I believe Savannah knows the end of the story, which is why she went back to work. Because you remember 10 days ago, she said, I'm never going back to the Today Show again. I'm never going back again. But then she went back again. Suggests to me that she has known the end of the story, is mourning, is dealing with it. Horrible thing. All of it's horrible. There's nothing good here. This is a situation where I do not want to be right, but I don't believe she's a kidnapping victim. And neither do you. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. What did I want to talk to you about? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I wanted to talk to Andy in Michigan. Yes, Andy, do you have an update on the weather in Michigan?
Well, up here in northern Michigan, I don't think you want to be here this time of year, but in the spring and then in the summer, you're going to love it up here if you ever come up here.
But what about the tornadoes? What about the tornadoes?
Well, it's going to be, yeah, we know that it's going to be really bad weather, but we're used to this type of weather up here. It's not, it's like you guys back in New York, a couple of snowflakes come down and you guys are taking all the food out of the supermarkets and everything. It's just ridiculous the way you react. But anyway, getting back to Nancy Guthrie, my opinion is the masked guy at the front door, he was at that front door to get rid of that camera, because the guys, his accomplices with perps, went into the sliding doors in the back. It was a robbery. You're right. They probably thought there was money in there and jewelry, and they're going to rob the place, and they're going to kidnap her. They took her with them. Now, this is going to be solved. Believe me when I tell you, the FBI has a lot more video than they're showing us. Electronics, the cell phones, smartphones, cell phone cameras, cell phone towers, that's all going to come into play. Cars have computers. They know what the car was that the perps brought up there. They're just not showing it for some reason. Like a lot of that video, they're not showing. And also in a desert, and that's where they are basically, if there was a satellite pitch that night, it would pick up cars going into her driveway. Might look like a dot, but they would see cars going into her driveway. So everything is accounted for. And biologically, they're looking at the stuff. It takes time, because let's face the facts. Like anywhere you work in America today, the best investigators with the FBI are working side by side with incompetent coworkers. That's what their life is. You saw the video a couple of weeks ago of the sheriff deputy from Arizona dropped something out of the knapsack, and she didn't even notice that she dropped it out of there. And then you got Sheriff Droopy Dog, who basically is baffling people, and probably the kidnappers are listening to him. They're baffling them too, but he's not in the crime lab. The top FBI guys, and they have people who could break down facial images and stuff, even if it's just eyes or mouth and stuff. There's a lot of big time people looking at this, but we only know 1% of what the FBI knows, and it will be solved electronically and biologically. And unfortunately, These perps, these freaks, they have low IQs. Come on, the guy's looking up at the camera. He's stupid. He didn't know. The FBI knows that the Nest cameras have backup and they have back-end data that can do. They solved crimes before by doing that when there was no monthly payment or subscription to the Nest camera.
Yeah, listen, Mulder, you got one thing wrong. Nothing was robbed.
That's what they told us. Don't you understand? You said there was no blood in the house. There was blood in the house.
There was blood
on
the
porch.
They
don't want to tell us.
There was blood on the porch.
But also, they reported recently it was blood in the house, too. And they don't want to tell us what was robbed in the house because they don't want to give the criminals any information to say, oh, yeah, this is what we took if there are people doing scams. Don't you understand that? But basically, you could take those perps and bring them to Appalachia, and they'll think the people there are wealthy. They looked at that big house. They've been there before. They know an old lady lives there, and they took advantage of it. And these creeps, they'll beat up an old lady. We know that. We've seen it before.
This is what
perpy freaks do.
We've seen it before. Plus, they were wearing a really ugly ski mask. You could really do better than that ski mask. Andy, thank you very much for calling. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to Ross Coulthard. Ross Coulthard of News Nation. Ross Coulthard is a journalist based out of Sydney, Australia. Now, the great thing about Sydney, Australia is all the women look like Elle Macpherson. There are no phys ed clubs. There are no health clubs in Australia. They're all born perfect. If you've been there, you know it's true. Anytime you've seen a model or an actor or actress coming out of Australia, they're all 6 feet tall and in perfect condition. Millie Alcock, who's about to play Supergirl, she's adorable. She's perfect. She's got that little attitude going on, the blonde hair. That's what every woman in Australia is like. Ross Coulthard lives there. Oh, and did I mention all their beaches are topless? They're all topless beaches and all the women are perfect. Is there anything else you need? Ross Coulthard is an expert on UFOs, conspiracy theories. He works for News Nation. Coming up in seconds, he's going to share with us what he believes the president of the United States is going to show us about the UFOs and about our country's capability to deal with UFOs. And it's fascinating what Ross has to say. Coming up in just seconds, Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. This is the Worldwide News Network Extra.
A once missing mom is sharing her story after being found by authorities decades later. Michelle Lynn Hunley Smith was 38 years old when she disappeared back in December 2001. She told her family she was going shopping but never returned. That was until cops got a tip decades later. She told authorities she left because of domestic issues. However, there were no allegations of foul play or formal charges. For the Worldwide News Network, I'm Liz Radvali.
This is Greg Kelly. Donate now to Toys for Tots, which works year-round. Go to toysfortots.org. Toys for Tots supports children in need throughout the year with programs like the Toys for Tots Literacy Program. Established in 2008, it has provided over 63 million books to disadvantaged children. The Toys for Tots Literacy Program is committed to providing disadvantaged children with direct access to books and educational resources that enhance their ability to read and communicate effectively. Go to toysfortots.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
Walter M. Sterling. Another Side of Midnight. So many sides of midnight, it's hard to imagine that we've covered every single thing we could at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Please share with us what you have to report. So good to have you back. This is Ross Coulthart from News Nation in Sydney, Australia.
Dear land, I've been trotting across the United States doing my sleuthing as an investigator for News Nation. And while I was there, you may recall the President, Donald Trump, pledged on social media, on Truth Social, that he would declassify, he would move to release the UFO files, evidence of extraterrestrial life and recovered technology. It was one heck of a promise. And in between starting a small war in the Middle East and everything else that's been going on, including the Epstein files, there's been a lot of skepticism that Donald Trump was serious. But I'm being told he is, that there will be a move towards declassifying certain UFO videos and certain imagery. But I'm not being told by my sources that this is going to be the big reveal, that the United States is going to disclose what I strongly believe and know is the case, which is that the United States has been in possession of recovered non-human technology for many decades. And I think what we're going to see at the instigation of the president, hopefully through an executive order or maybe legislation, is a move to begin declassifying some more of the videos that have long intrigued people who have access to the classified servers of the Defense Department. I've been talking to people while I was in the United States who've told me about extraordinary videos that are on top secret servers, which they think the public should have a right to know about. And what they do is they raise the very real probability that, my friend, we are not alone, that there is something intelligent that appears to be operating particularly in our oceans. And there are images and videos of craft coming in and out of the ocean, gigantic triangular craft. There's one hilarious one where a B-52 pilot saw a craft come up alongside him, and it's been described to me that he could see through what appeared to be portholes non-human humanoids looking back at him. And unbelievable as this may sound, the president, God bless him, has pledged to release this information. I hope he doesn't forget it in between fighting a war in the Middle East and rebuffing the insinuations from the Epstein files. Whatever it is, it's a splendid distraction, and I urge him to follow up his pledge on Truth Social with some serious action, because actions speak louder than words.
Now, Ross Coulthart, serious action may have different definitions to the president, to you, to me. Really, what do you think he's going to reveal?
Well, Walter, I know from my own sources that President Trump has been briefed to a limited extent by people from the Pentagon. Even though the weird position we have in America at the moment is that the Pentagon officially denies any knowledge of extraterrestrial engagement with this planet, it is quite clear that they are fully aware of a non-human intelligence engagement with this planet, and that they've been aware of this since at least the Second World War, and that we've recovered their technology. So there's been speculation from a British filmmaker who claims to have an insider inside the administration, a guy called Mark Christopher Lee. He's claiming that there is someone who has told him from within the Trump administration that Trump intends to make a speech on or around or possibly before the Roswell anniversary. The Roswell case, of course, is the 1947, July 8th, 1947 incident, which only really became public in the 1980s when a whole lot of witnesses started to talk about what they'd seen 30, 40 years earlier in 1947 when allegedly a craft or two crafts were recovered from in and around the Roswell area by the military. And there were a large number of civilian witnesses who saw this as well. They were threatened and sworn to secrecy and told their families would be killed, that they would be taken out into the desert and murdered if they spoke about it. So a lot of them didn't speak about it. There is some speculation, and I have no evidence to suggest that this is going to be the case with Donald Trump, but there is some speculation that this is what Trump is going to reveal, that yes, the United States did recover craft and alien bodies in 1947, and that the public will finally be told the truth about the Roswell case. What I don't think is going to happen, I don't think there's a remote chance in hell of this ever happening, is for the United States to admit what I strongly now believe and know is the case, which is that the United States is heavily involved in a retrieval and reverse engineering program where it's trying to emulate the technologies that it has recovered, namely propulsion systems, energy systems, and indeed beam weapons systems that have been tested out at China Lake. You might be interested to know that one of the things I was investigating when I was in the States is allegations that there are repeated sightings over the White Sands missile range, pretty much home of the first nuclear weapon, of craft, that the United States has been testing beam technology, and they've also resumed nuclear weapons testing. And this has attracted the attention of alleged non-human craft that have started hovering over the White Sands missile range and certain test sites in the Nevada test range. And it's aroused a lot of concern inside the Pentagon that for inexplicable reasons, they're back. And I guess maybe there are some people in the Pentagon, Walter, who realize the game is up and it's time to tell the public the truth. Because I really do think that the public have long, I think the wisdom of the crowd is such, the public has long accepted that this is a reality. They don't buy the nonsense being spun by the Pentagon anymore, that there is no evidence. And the evidence of something anomalous in our skies is overwhelming, and it's time the public was told the truth. So maybe, just maybe, the president is thinking about doing just that.
Ross Coulthard of News Nation, do you believe within our government there is a conspiracy by different parts of the government in conflict with other departments within the government to keep this covered up? Do you think there's a big battle within the U.S. government about whether or not to release it? When, who, how? Do you think there's like no agreement? Is that the problem?
Yes, it is, sir. I think it is. And I think the problem is that there is a small select group of gatekeepers who wield inordinate power. And my fear is that they've got the ear of the president, because Donald Trump did pledge to Joe Rogan before the election when he was coming in for his second term. He did pledge full transparency on UFOs. And I've been told that he has now received a more thorough briefing and that he's now fully aware of at least some of what I'm talking about. I do know, I don't believe, I know for a fact, because I've spoken to people in the Pentagon, in the intelligence community, and in private military contractors that are involved in this work, that there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the United States has recovered alien bodies and alien technology, and that there's been a secret Cold War for the recovery of that technology and the reverse engineering thereof over the past 70 to 80 years. And I think the big reason why you and I aren't being told the truth, and neither are any of us midnight misfits, is because they think that to reveal the existence of alien life is to reveal all the secrets, and that it would be a slippery slope. And they don't want to give any advantage to our potential foreign adversaries, Russia, China, by revealing what it is that we know. But I really think it's too late for that, because the evidence is overwhelming that the Russians are way ahead of us in some areas, particularly in the development of beam technology. And the Chinese, well, they're as mysterious as ever, but they've been very good at plundering and spying and stealing information, including the F-22 and F-35s from America. And there's no reason at all to suspect that they wouldn't be monitoring and surveilling the UFO program. And look, while we're at it, Walter, I should mention one of the greatest individuals, one of the people who's been at the peak of the UFO mystery, is a guy called General Neil McCasland. And it's gone unnoticed in the mainstream media that General Neil McCasland, who was involved in a covert effort to brief Hillary Clinton and her staff prior to the last, the 2016 election, he has disappeared. He wanted to see UFO disclosure in 2016, probably, I think, because he saw the game was up. And he went for a walk in Albuquerque on the 27th of February, and he has officially disappeared. One of the top major generals retired in the U.S.
Who was that again? Who was that again?
General Neil McCasland.
Amazing. Ross Coulthart, thank you very much for being on the Red Apple Audio Network. Walter Sterling. Ross will be on again. Ross is with News Nation. You can find his videos and his reports on YouTube. You can find him on News Nation. News Nation, I find to be a generally just fine news source. I know it's not Fox, but it's generally a just fine news source. One of my other favorite conspiracies that I will share with you as often as I can possibly get away with is this one.
Andromedans tell you that the Alpha Draconians are here now. There are 1,853 of them that have been living underground between 100 and 200 miles beneath the surface. They've been here, some of them have been here a long, long time. They have lifespans that are thousands of years. They're carnivorous. They are not friendly to mankind, at least the ones that are here.
Are you saying carnivorous, they eat humans?
Yes. And they need to be, they won't eat a dead human. It has to be alive at the time of the killing. Their preference is children. You know, and we've been told, you shouldn't talk about that. You know, there are other people say, well, you better not talk about the reptilians. Well, you know, bull. You know, why not? According to the Andromedans, they're responsible for 31,712 children disappearing in the last 25 years from the United States. These children were food. And I'm supposed to just shut up and not say anything about it because people don't want to hear it? That's tough. You know, Westchester County, in the last 5 years, 3,000 children in the Westchester County, New York, have vanished without a trace. Where are they going? Why are we allowing this to happen? And why should people be in denial about it?
Now, how are they able to do this? How are they able to do it? How are they able to come up out of this from underground and do it? Or do they have...
There are tunneling systems everywhere. They're being helped by the Greys. And also there are groups within the higher echelon that are actually helping them acquire this.
So human beings are abducting the kids and giving them to the Greys, who in turn give them to the Alpha Draconians?
That's right. That's part of the deal. They won't come up as long as we feed them down there. You understand, it's about human beings selling themselves out. The echelon attitude here, the needs of the few outweigh the needs of humanity. And sorry, that just isn't right. You know, but it's going to have to be humanity that's going to rise up and take the stand. You're just going to have to turn off your televisions. They're going to have to get in their car. They're going to have to fire everybody in Washington, D.C. that knows and does nothing. And they're going to have to do something. You know, this apathy's got to end. Otherwise, the way we live is going to end. Period. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, and I'm not coming from a fear space. I'm really quite angry about the apathy and the fact that, you know, when people give lectures and try to tell them, people want to stand up and fight with them. Look at what's happening around us. The indications are everywhere. Everywhere. The truth is now an obscure thing. You know, the lie is the norm. There's something wrong here. What's wrong with this picture?
You're wrong with the picture. There's a difference between Michelle Gibson, who is a journalist a researcher, an academician who studied Tartaria, who studied many of the aspects of the things that we talk about metaphysics, and then there are just kooks like this.
Absolutely. In fact, a good portion of it is all human meat. All human. It's all human.
What?
The amount of people killed, sacrificed, ground up, and fed back to you is more than the cattle that's on the earth. Let's put it that way. Okay? We would steer clear of any type of ground meat unless you literally are getting it from a farm where they process their food right there and then, in which case, you know, really it's usually a farm. They've got a little store there. They've got, you know, their own package system, their own meat system. Short of that, we wouldn't recommend any type of.
So this kook believes that
if
you and I are fed ground humans.
Participating in cannibalism or not. And the biggest issue, besides the obvious, for most people, moral issue of eating another human being, is
moral
the energy
issue
behind it. And also, your bodies are not designed to consume each other, so they cause all kinds of, it causes health problems as well, and things of that nature. And we know that you all have participated in it so far in your lives. Everybody's been eating this stuff. Everybody's been eating the fast food hamburgers. Everybody's been eating the ground up stuff and things like that. But we're just telling you that it's mostly human meat. It's mostly human meat. And a lot of it is other animals as well that you don't realize that they get rid of when they euthanize animals. And that's the...
There's the challenge. There's a line that's very long, very thick between kooks and researchers, people who have gone after the facts, found out what's true, what's not. Oh, there's a building. You can touch the building. You can investigate how old the stones are. You can do the research. Rivers, streams, railroad tracks, all researchable. And then there are these nut jobs who say that most of what we get at fast food restaurants is human meat. And here's their math. It's very interesting to hear their math, because they do the math and they say, well, based on the number of hamburgers that are sold each day, it would be impossible for there to be enough cows to make those hamburgers. That's where the trouble. There wouldn't be enough chickens. That's where the trouble is. And therefore, they immediately jump from there aren't enough chickens, there aren't enough cows, to it must be human meat. Because obviously, there are more than enough humans that are killed each day to feed us in fast food. That's where it gets exciting. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. Hello.
It's another side of midnight. Another side of midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's T.J. McCormick.
Many, many sides of midnight. An astonishing number of sides of midnight. Walter M. Sterling at 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. A violent tornado ripped through western Oklahoma, lifted a vehicle into the air, killing a teacher and her teenage daughter last night. Jody Owens and her daughter Lexi were found dead Thursday night inside their van near a highway intersection outside Fairview in Major County. Officials believe the deaths were caused by the deadly tornado that struck as a powerful storm system still battering swaths of the country, unleashed destructive winds, large hail, multiple twisters across the region. Obviously, a major, major weather nightmare. Around 32 million Americans currently are under some form of extreme weather alert as forecasters track a volatile weather pattern stretching from North Texas to the Great Lakes. More than 7 million people are in the highest threat zone for severe weather spanning from parts of Missouri, Oklahoma, Nebraska, nearly 25 million more under a broader risk area that includes Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Milwaukee. It's the whole Midwest. In Michigan, at least 4 people were killed after a large tornado tore through the Union Lake area. That's about 125 miles west of Detroit. That was last night. Officials are urging residents to prepare shelter plans and monitor alerts as they warned of tennis ball-sized hail and potentially deadly gusts. The greatest potential for a few strong tornadoes and still very large hail should exist across the eastern portions of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, into western Arkansas, Missouri, and southern Iowa, an alert from the National Weather Service. That's the situation with the tornadoes, which was just a remarkable, surprising event. About Savannah Guthrie's mom, does it make any sense? Let's just talk about this a minute. Does it make any sense about Savannah Guthrie's mom? Yes, of course, we're all weary of hearing about all of that. But here's the evidence. There is none. Savannah Guthrie's mom disappeared. And the narrative, the framing of this, this conspiracy, the framing of it, is that she was kidnapped for a ransom of Bitcoin. Well, there's a big problem. In order to get a ransom, you need to show life. You need to show that the person is alive. There has been no evidence that Savannah Guthrie's mother is alive. The first piece of evidence needed to get money in a ransom is to show that you have what you're asking ransom for. Okay, well, nobody's done that. Next, if you're going to say we need money, you need a return address. There's been no return address. There's been we want money, and this is the money we want, but there's been no return address, and then we haven't heard from them again. No return address, no response. Here's $1 million, here's $10 million, whatever you want, no response, no body, no sign of life. So the frame is, look over here, America, look over here, look in this picture. Okay, we're all looking there for a sign of life, a return address, and it isn't there. And we keep being distracted to that frame, but that frame is not the truth. It hasn't been the truth since the beginning of this event. It never was. I believe, in my opinion, very sad, is that the minute Savannah Guthrie's mom was approached by whomever, she was killed and not held for kidnap, not held for ransom. She was killed, and in a very violent struggle on that porch, because that's where the blood was. Blood wasn't in her bedroom. The blood was on the porch. My instinct is that there was a lot of money there. And she had a nice big house. And that whoever she had dinner with, they had a big argument. They had a big argument. And they either went with her to her house after dinner and they had a fight, or they went back to her house after dinner and they had a fight on the porch. And that was the end of it. There was a lot of money there. My instinct, and again, it's just my opinion, is that they fought over money at dinner. Whoever was arguing with her over money at dinner did not like what she was saying. Maybe she, you know, she was in her 80s. She was about to die. Maybe they found out that they were not in her will, or that the home was not in her will. And I believe Savannah knows the end of the story, which is why she went back to work. Because you remember 10 days ago, she said, I'm never going back to the Today Show again. I'm never going back again. But then she went back again. Suggests to me that she has known the end of the story, is mourning, is dealing with it. Horrible thing. All of it's horrible. There's nothing good here. This is a situation where I do not want to be right, but I don't believe she's a kidnapping victim. And neither do you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. What did I want to talk to you about? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I wanted to talk to Andy in Michigan. Yes, Andy, do you have an update on the weather in Michigan?
Well, up here in northern Michigan, I don't think you want to be here this time of year, but in the spring and then in the summer, you're going to love it up here if you ever come up here.
But what about the tornadoes? What about the tornadoes?
Well, it's going to be, yeah, we know that it's going to be really bad weather, but we're used to this type of weather up here. It's not, it's like you guys back in New York, a couple of snowflakes come down and you guys are taking all the food out of the supermarkets and everything. It's just ridiculous the way you react. But anyway, getting back to Nancy Guthrie, my opinion is the mask guy at the front door, he was at that front door to get rid of that camera because the guys, his accomplices with perps, went into the sliding doors in the back. It was a robbery. You're right. They probably thought there was money in there and jewelry, and they're going to rob the place, and they're going to kidnap her. They took her with them. Now, this is going to be solved. Believe me when I tell you, the FBI has a lot more video than they're showing us. Electronics, the cell phones, smartphones, cell phone cameras, cell phone towers, that's all going to come into play. Cars have computers. They know what the car was that the perps brought up there. They're just not showing it for some reason. Like a lot of that video, they're not showing. And also in a desert, and that's where they are basically, if there was a satellite pitch that night, it would pick up cars going into her driveway. Might look like a dot, but they would see cars going into her driveway. So everything is accounted for, and biologically they're looking at the stuff. It takes time because let's face the facts. Like anywhere you work in America today, the best investigators with the FBI are working side by side with incompetent coworkers. That's what their life is. You saw the video a couple of weeks ago of the sheriff deputy from Arizona dropped something out of the knapsack, and she didn't even notice that she dropped it out of there. And then you got Sheriff Droopy Dog, who basically is baffling people, and probably the kidnappers are listening to him. They're baffling them too, but he's not in the crime lab. The top FBI guys, and they have people who can break down facial images and stuff, even if it's just eyes or mouth and stuff. There's a lot of big time people looking at this, but we only know 1% of what the FBI knows, and it will be solved electronically and biologically. And unfortunately, these perps, these freaks, they have low IQs. Come on, the guy's looking up at the camera. He's stupid. He didn't know. The FBI knows that the Nest cameras have backup and they have back-end data that can do. They solved crimes before by doing that when there was no monthly payment or subscription to the Nest camera.
Yeah, listen, Mulder, you got one thing wrong. Nothing was robbed.
That's what they told us. Don't you understand? You said there was no blood in the house. There was blood in the house.
There was blood on the porch.
They don't want to tell us.
There was blood on the porch.
But also, they reported recently it was blood in the house, too. And they don't want to tell us what was robbed in the house because they don't want to give the criminals any information to say, oh, yeah, this is what we took, if there are people doing scams. Don't you understand that? But basically, you could take those perps and bring them to Appalachia, and they'll think the people there are wealthy. They looked at that big house. They've been there before. They know an old lady lives there, and they took advantage of it. And these creeps, they'll beat up an old lady. We know that. We've seen it before.
This is what
perpy freaks do.
We've seen it before. Plus, they were wearing a really ugly ski mask. You could really do better than that ski mask. Andy, thank you very much for calling. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to Ross Coulthart. Ross Coulthart of News Nation. Ross Coulthart is a journalist based out of Sydney, Australia. Now, the great thing about Sydney, Australia is all the women look like Elle Macpherson. There are no phys ed clubs. There are no health clubs in Australia. They're all born perfect. If you've been there, you know it's true. Anytime you've seen a model or an actor or actress coming out of Australia, they're all 6 feet tall and in perfect condition. Millie Alcock, who's about to play Supergirl, she's adorable. She's perfect. She's got that little attitude going on, the blonde hair. That's what every woman in Australia is like. Ross Coulthart lives there. Oh, and did I mention all their beaches are topless? They're all topless beaches and all the women are perfect. Is there anything else you need? Ross Coulthart is an expert on UFOs, conspiracy theories. He works for News Nation. Coming up in seconds, he's going to share with us what he believes the president of the United States is going to show us about the UFOs and about our country's capability to deal with UFOs. And it's fascinating what Ross has to say. Coming up in just seconds, Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's Another Side of Midnight. This is the Worldwide News Network Extra.
A once missing mom is sharing her story after being found by authorities decades later. Michelle Lynn Hunley Smith was 38 years old when she disappeared back in December 2001. She told her family she was going shopping but never returned. That was until cops got a tip decades later. She told authorities she left because of domestic issues. However, there were no allegations of foul play or formal charges. For the Worldwide News Network, I'm Liz Radvali.
This is Greg Kelly. Donate now to Toys for Tots, which works year-round. Go to toysfortots.org. Toys for Tots supports children in need throughout the year with programs like the Toys for Tots Literacy Program. Established in 2008, it has provided over 63 million books to disadvantaged children. The Toys for Tots Literacy Program is committed to providing disadvantaged children with direct access to books and educational resources that enhance their ability to read and communicate effectively. Go to toysfortots.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
Walter M. Sterling. Another Side of Midnight. So many sides of midnight, it's hard to imagine that we've covered every single thing we could. At 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Please share with us what you have to report. So good to have you back. This is Ross Coulthart from News Nation in Sydney, Australia.
Dear land, I've been trotting across the United States doing my sleuthing as an investigator for News Nation. And while I was there, you may recall the President, Donald Trump, pledged on social media, on Truth Social, that he would declassify, he would move to release the UFO files, evidence of extraterrestrial life and recovered technology. It was one heck of a promise. And in between starting a small war in the Middle East and everything else that's been going on, including the Epstein files, there's been a lot of skepticism that Donald Trump was serious, but I'm being told he is, that there will be a move towards declassifying certain UFO videos and certain imagery. But I'm not being told by my sources that this is going to be the big reveal, that the United States is going to disclose what I strongly believe and know is the case, which is that the United States has been in possession of recovered non-human technology for many decades. And I think what we're going to see at the instigation of the president, hopefully through an executive order or maybe legislation, is a move to begin declassifying some more of the videos that have long intrigued people who have access to the classified servers of the Defense Department. I've been talking to people while I was in the United States who've told me about extraordinary videos that are on top secret servers, which they think the public should have a right to know about. And what they do is they raise the very real probability that, my friend, we are not alone, that there is something intelligent that appears to be operating particularly in our oceans. And there are images and videos of craft coming in and out of the ocean, gigantic triangular craft. There's one hilarious one where a B-52 pilot saw a craft come up alongside him, and it's been described to me that he could see through what appeared to be portholes non-human humanoids looking back at him. And unbelievable as this may sound, the president, God bless him, has pledged to release this information. I hope he doesn't forget it in between fighting a war in the Middle East and rebuffing the insinuations from the Epstein files. Whatever it is, it's a splendid distraction, and I urge him to follow up his pledge on Truth Social with some serious action, because actions speak louder than words.
Now, Ross Coulthart, serious action may have different definitions to the president, to you, to me. Really, what do you think he's going to reveal?
Well, Walter, I know from my own sources that President Trump has been briefed to a limited extent by people from the Pentagon. Even though the weird position we have in America at the moment is that the Pentagon officially denies any knowledge of extraterrestrial engagement with this planet, it is quite clear that they are fully aware of a non-human intelligence engagement with this planet, and that they've been aware of this since at least the Second World War, and that we've recovered their technology. So there's been speculation from a British filmmaker who claims to have an insider inside the administration, a guy called Mark Christopher Lee. He's claiming that there is someone who has told him from within the Trump administration that Trump intends to make a speech on or around or possibly before the Roswell anniversary. The Roswell case, of course, is the July 8th, 1947 incident, which only really became public in the 1980s when a whole lot of witnesses started to talk about what they'd seen 30, 40 years earlier in 1947, when allegedly a craft or two crafts were recovered from in and around the Roswell area by the military. And there were a large number of civilian witnesses who saw this as well. They were threatened and sworn to secrecy and told their families would be killed, that they would be taken out into the desert and murdered if they spoke about it. So a lot of them didn't speak about it. There is some speculation, and I have no evidence to suggest that this is going to be the case with Donald Trump, but there is some speculation that this is what Trump is going to reveal, that yes, the United States did recover craft and alien bodies in 1947, and that the public will finally be told the truth about the Roswell case. What I don't think is going to happen, I don't think there's a remote chance in hell of this ever happening, is for the United States to admit what I strongly now believe and know is the case, which is that the United States is heavily involved in a retrieval and reverse engineering program where it's trying to emulate the technologies that it has recovered, namely propulsion systems, energy systems, and indeed beam weapons systems that have been tested out at China Lake. You might be interested to know that one of the things I was investigating when I was in the States is allegations that there are repeated sightings over the White Sands missile range, pretty much home of the first nuclear weapon, of craft, that the United States has been testing beam technology, and they've also resumed nuclear weapons testing. And this has attracted the attention of alleged non-human craft that have started hovering over the White Sands missile range and certain test sites in the Nevada test range. And it's aroused a lot of concern inside the Pentagon that for inexplicable reasons, they're back. And I guess maybe there are some people in the Pentagon, Walter, who realize the game is up and it's time to tell the public the truth. Because I really do think that the public have long, I think the wisdom of the crowd is such, the public has long accepted that this is a reality. They don't buy the nonsense being spun by the Pentagon anymore, that there is no evidence. And the evidence of something anomalous in our skies is overwhelming, and it's time the public was told the truth. So maybe, just maybe, the president is thinking about doing just that.
Ross Coulthard of News Nation, do you believe within our government there is a conspiracy by different parts of the government in conflict with other departments within the government to keep this covered up? Do you think there's a big battle within the U.S. government about whether or not to release it? When, who, how? Do you think there's like no agreement? Is that the problem?
Yes, it is, sir. I think it is. And I think the problem is that there is a small select group of gatekeepers who wield inordinate power. And my fear is that they've got the ear of the president, because Donald Trump did pledge to Joe Rogan before the election when he was coming in for his second term. He did pledge full transparency on UFOs. And I've been told that he has now received a more thorough briefing and that he's now fully aware of at least some of what I'm talking about. I do know, I don't believe, I know for a fact, because I've spoken to people in the Pentagon, in the intelligence community, and in private military contractors that are involved in this work, that there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the United States has recovered alien bodies and alien technology, and that there's been a secret Cold War for the recovery of that technology and the reverse engineering thereof over the past 70 to 80 years. And I think the big reason why you and I aren't being told the truth, and neither are any of us midnight misfits, is because they think that to reveal the existence of alien life is to reveal all the secrets, and that it would be a slippery slope. And they don't want to give any advantage to our potential foreign adversaries, Russia, China, by revealing what it is that we know. But I really think it's too late for that, because the evidence is overwhelming that the Russians are way ahead of us in some areas, particularly in the development of beam technology. And the Chinese, well, they're as mysterious as ever, but they've been very good at plundering and spying and stealing information, including the F-22 and F-35s from America, and there's no reason at all to suspect that they wouldn't be monitoring and surveilling the UFO program. And look, while we're at it, Walter, I should mention one of the greatest individuals, one of the people who's been at the peak of the UFO mystery, is a guy called General Neil McCasland. And it's gone unnoticed in the mainstream media that General Neil McCasland, who was involved in a covert effort to brief Hillary Clinton and her staff prior to the last, the 2016 election, he has disappeared. He wanted to see UFO disclosure in 2016, probably, I think, because he saw the game was up. And he went for a walk in Albuquerque on the 27th of February, and he has officially disappeared. One of the top major generals retired in the U.S.
Who was that again? Who was that again?
General Neil McCasland.
Amazing. Ross Coulthart, thank you very much for being on the Red Apple Audio Network. Walter Sterling. Ross will be on again. Ross is with News Nation. You can find his videos and his reports on YouTube. You can find him on News Nation. News Nation, I find to be a generally just fine news source. I know it's not Fox, but it's generally a just fine news source. One of my other favorite conspiracies that I will share with you as often as I can possibly get away with is this one.
Andromedans tell you that the Alpha Draconians are here now.
There are 1,853 of them that have been living underground between 100 and 200 miles beneath the surface. They've been here, some of them have been here a long, long time. They have lifespans that are thousands of years. They're carnivorous. They are not friendly to mankind, at least the ones that are here.
Are you saying carnivorous, they eat humans?
Yes. And they need to be, they won't eat a dead human. It has to be alive at the time of the killing. Their preference is children. You know, and we've been told, you shouldn't talk about that. You know, there are other people say, well, you better not talk about the reptilians. Well, you know, bull, you know, why not? According to the Andromedans, they're responsible for 31,712 children disappearing in the last 25 years from the United States. These children were food. And I'm supposed to just shut up and not say anything about it because people don't want to hear it? That's tough. You know, Westchester County, in the last 5 years, 3,000 children in the Westchester County, New York, have vanished without a trace. Where are they going? Why are we allowing this to happen? And why should people be in denial about it?
Now, how are they able to do this? How are they able to do it? How are they able to come up out of this from underground and do it? Or do they have...
There are tunneling systems everywhere. They're being helped by the Greys. And also there are groups within the higher echelon that are actually helping them acquire this.
So human beings are abducting the kids and giving them to the Greys, who in turn give them to the Alpha Draconians?
That's right. That's part of the deal. They won't come up as long as we feed them down there. You understand, it's about human beings selling themselves out. The echelon attitude here, the needs of the few outweigh the needs of humanity. And sorry, that just isn't right. You know, but it's going to have to be humanity that's going to rise up and take the stand. You're just going to have to turn off your televisions. They're going to have to get in their car. They're going to have to fire everybody in Washington, D.C. that knows and does nothing. And they're going to have to do something. You know, this apathy's got to end. Otherwise, the way we live is going to end. Period. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, and I'm not coming from a fear space. I'm really quite angry about the apathy and the fact that, you know, when people give lectures and try to tell them, people want to stand up and fight with them. Look at what's happening around us. The indications are everywhere. Everywhere. The truth is now an obscure thing. You know, the lie is the norm. There's something wrong here. What's wrong with this picture?
You're wrong with the picture. There's a difference between Michelle Gibson, who is a journalist, a researcher, an academician who studied Tartaria, who studied many of the aspects of the things that we talk about metaphysics, and then there are just kooks like this.
Absolutely. In fact, a good portion of it is all human meat. All human. It's all human.
What?
The amount of people killed, sacrificed, ground up, and fed back to you is more than the cattle that's on the earth. Let's put it that way. Okay? We would steer clear of any type of ground meat unless you literally are getting it from a farm where they process their food right there and then. In which case, you know, really it's usually a... farm. They've got a little store there. They've got, you know, their own package system, their own meat system. Short of that, we wouldn't recommend any type of
ground meat to be consumed if you and I are fed ground humus.
Participating in cannibalism or not. And the biggest issue, besides the obvious, for most people, moral issue of eating another human being, is
moral
the energy
issue
behind it. And also, your bodies are not designed to consume each other, so they cause all kinds of, it causes health problems as well, and things of that nature. And we know that you all have participated in it so far in your lives. Everybody's been eating this stuff. Everybody's been eating the fast food hamburgers. Everybody's been eating the ground up stuff and things like that. But we're just telling you that it's mostly human meat. It's mostly human meat. And a lot of it is other animals as well that you don't realize that they get rid of when they euthanize animals. And that's the...
There's the challenge. There's a line that's very long, very thick between kooks and researchers, people who have gone after the facts, found out what's true, what's not. Oh, there's a building. You can touch the building. You can investigate how old the stones are. You can do the research. Rivers, streams, railroad tracks, all researchable. And then there are these nut jobs who say that most of what we get at fast food restaurants is human meat. And here's their math. It's very interesting to hear their math, because they do the math and they say, well, based on the number of hamburgers that are sold each day, it would be impossible for there to be enough cows to make those hamburgers. That's where the trouble. There wouldn't be enough chickens. That's where the trouble is. And therefore, they immediately jump from there aren't enough chickens, there aren't enough cows, to it must be human meat. Because obviously, there are more than enough humans that are killed each day to feed us in fast food. That's where it gets exciting. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. Hello.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
Audio. UFOs.
Cults.
Aliens.
Societies.
Sterling secrets.
The hidden layer of our existence revealed. Walter Sterling from the Red Apple Audio Network.
We always have to remember, in going about day-to-day life, in going about our jobs, about our work, and dealing with our family and with the institutions that you and I deal with every day, it is not what it appears to be. It is always, everything is worth another question. And where organizations, companies, bosses, friends, neighbors, where they get away with it. Oh, look at that. I didn't do that. Huh. Where they get away with it is we don't ask extra questions. Hey, you know what, Tony? The remote support screen actually just went down, and it might be useful right about now if you have a chance. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Is my phone number, and a text would solve the problem, Tony. I think we can do it with a text. But what you and I have to be careful of is asking the next question. And it really comes down to how are you raised? People are raised to ask the next question and another question. They could care less if anybody likes them. There's the Achilles heel in our culture. Too many people want to be liked, and it prevents them from asking the next question of the school board, the teacher, the principal, the employer, the person you're dealing with in a store, there's always the next question to get to satisfaction, to get to the point where you have the information that you want and that you need. Very often we go, geez, if I ask that question, they're just going to think I'm a jerk. One of the great gifts I have been given is I could care less if somebody thinks I'm a jerk. If I need the information to do what? To take care of my wife, to protect my children, to care for my parents, to do the right thing. How do we define right thing? We define right thing by first in line is my kids. My primary job in life, my primary job given to me by the universe is to take care of those children. That's my primary job. In my opinion, with the Epstein stuff and anything like that, is the parents should go to jail. Whatever happened, whoever you're annoyed with, whoever did something wrong, you look at the Epstein situation and go, but those are 16-year-old girls, those are 15-year-old girls, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, okay. What Epstein and his friends or Epstein and his fellow blackmailers did was horrible. But where were their parents? Where the hell were the parents? I have a 14-year-old daughter. And I have a 20-year-old daughter and 21-year-old daughter. At no time could they call me from an island and say, hi, Dad, I'm here for a couple of weeks with some really old men and nothing to worry about. No, that wouldn't be happening. You get on the next plane, come back. No, I can't. Oh, well, then I'm going to come and get you. That's how that would go. Isn't that how that's supposed to go? How is it possible for 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old young women, children, to get on an airplane and go far away without their parents saying, okay, unless their parents were paid off, in which case they should be executed. Like, what the hell? I never hear in any of the coverage of this is, oh, and where was your father? Where was your mother? These poor women who show up at these congressional hearings are witnesses to what happened. It happened to them, et cetera, et cetera. Never once do I hear a congressman or a senator say, where was your mom? Where was your dad? I never hear that. It's just these horrible people kidnapped them, took them, whatever it is. But I don't hear the path to justice for the parents. Do you? Do you hear the path to justice for the parents? I don't. 800-848-9222 is the phone number. You go live, and you'll go live on the Red Apple Audio Network and share your deep and profound thoughts. But there's the challenge. The challenge is you and I talk about conspiracy theories because I believe that most conspiracy theories are based on a fact. It just doesn't grow out of nothing. There's a reason that those conspiracies exist. There's a reason that they've been discussed. Most of the conspiracies about Egypt, UFOs, abductions, those started in the 50s, and they have been on late-night radio since the 50s. But why? Nobody ever says they're not true. I never hear anybody say they're not true. I hear people give evidence as to why they are true. Betty and Barney Hill were the first people I heard abducted. And I heard it on the Long John Nebel show, and I heard it in the 1960s. Forgive me for revealing that I'm over 22. But that's what I heard. I heard the story. It was compelling. It was amazing. Yes, we'll have abductees on tomorrow night at 3. We'll hear from Dave Scott, who was abducted multiple times. Dave Scott, a Canadian, was abducted multiple times, and he will share his story of abduction. And I love it when I said to Dave, well, how many times were you abducted? And he goes, I'm not sure. That's the right answer. But he's doing it based on personal experience. When I share with you stories about people who remember their last life, that's from me witnessing people I know and trust telling me the story, and I'm watching them like, they really believe that. I believe that they're talking about their prior life. that they're sitting there and they're telling me what happened right before they were born and where they lived and who they knew. And then we check out a fact or two, and it isn't like a cheap psychic in the village. It's a personal experience. It's a personal experience. My daughter, she was 4 years old, and we were sitting at dusk. They always talk about dusk being a key time with people with Alzheimer's and with memory problems. But it was dusk, and my how old was she? 4 or 5 years old. And it was a beautiful evening, and a friend was over who had never met her before. We didn't know this friend as a friend in the house. It was one of those friends outside the house. Now he was inside the house. And my daughter's sitting on the counter. It's like 5:30. And out of nowhere, she starts speaking with a thick French accent. And she pretends to be holding a cigarette with a cigarette holder, like a French woman in a bad movie. She's not seen a French woman in a bad movie. We don't know any French people. We're Americans. We don't smoke. We don't have cigarette holders. But out of nowhere, she's speaking with a thick French accent and pretending to be French and pretending to smoke. The other thing that she did once was we were having a dispute, the way you have with three-year-olds, you know, disputes with three-year-olds, not a fight. It's with a three-year-old. It's ridiculous. And she says, and I didn't have to pick this family. I could have picked the other family, but I picked this family. And I think I made a mistake. Well, she meant it. She had a memory of being able to pick another family. She had that memory. And she was sharing that with us. And I believe that she believed that. I asked my, since she was born, I've asked my now 14-year-old daughter, I've said, when she was 3, 4 years old, I said, how many angels are with you each night? And she says, matter of factly, she says, 11. And then, I don't know, once or twice a month, I'll say to her, Samantha, how many angels are watching you? 11. It's always matter of fact, and it's always 11. And as she started to get older this year, and I'll say to her, how many angels are with you? And she'll go, I don't think there were that many last night. I don't think there were that many. And it was fascinating because she has very clear thoughts about how many angels watch her. Hey, Tony, do you have that access number? Could you text that to me? Because that screen has dropped. And I want to talk to you at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. My 14-year-old daughter believes she sees the angels. She talks to the angels. Her grandmother and her babysitter passed away at about the same time a few years ago, but she didn't know either of them. And she'll report to me about talking to my mom. I talked to your mother last night. She wonders how you're doing. And again, it's like a reporter. It's matter of fact. Now, the spiritual part, and I've read a lot of articles about this, children with autism seem to have an unusual spiritual life. They seem to be connected to the world in a way that you and I, or that, quote, normies are not. And my daughter has autism, but she presents as neuronormal or something. I don't know. John in Reno, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi, John.
Hey, Walker. I tell you, with these kids hanging out with Epstein and his friends, it's the exact same problem as the kids that do the school shootings with guns purchased by their parents. A lot of parents these days raise their kids like friends. They're not really in control. It's a more of a friendship than a parenthood. It's sad. To get a gun, you need to pass a security check. To buy a car, you need to pass a credit check and have a job. But anybody can make a kid. And this is the consequences of that. We have people that have kids, some of them very rich and educated, they just have no common sense.
But, John, do you gamble in Reno?
Oh, I do.
What do you play?
I'm a sports gambler.
Really? Well, that's an actual skill. That's an actual skill. Did you bet on the Olympics, or is that too wacky?
No, I didn't do the Olympics. I do a lot of basketball, football, baseball, a little bit of hockey.
John, I really appreciate you listening. Thank you very much for listening to the Red Apple Audio Network with Walter Sterling. Lauren in New Jersey, where do you get your pizza, Lauren?
Hi, Walter. Where do I get my pizza?
Yeah, your Jersey. Where?
Well, I actually don't eat pizza. I would love to, but if I start, I can't stop.
Oh, well, that's an amount of restraint that I have never enjoyed. I have never known starting to eat pizza and to being able to stop or not starting. If the pizza is available, especially in New Jersey, I'm going to eat the pizza. But I respect you. I certainly respect you, Lauren. And what do you want? Now, what did you call the giant radio show about, Lauren?
Walter, I so thoroughly love your show. Several weeks ago, you were speaking about your daughter and that she had been removed from her educational program. And I was wondering if you got an educational lawyer, because there's so many things that you can do. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, we did. And I appreciate what you're saying. We had a lawyer last year, and we had a mediation agreement last year. And last year, the settlement was they would pay for a year of her private school. And then in the second year of the mediation agreement, they would not pay for the Board of Education would not pay for her private school the next year, which would be this year. But our lawyer at the time, follow along, our lawyer at the time said, don't worry, when that comes up, we'll work on it. There are things we can do. When this year rolled around, starting in July, August, when I started having to deal with it for her to start school in September at the private school for autism, we couldn't get the lawyer on the phone. We couldn't get the lawyer to return an email. We couldn't get the lawyer at all. And there we were, without the funds to keep her in her private school, which is more than any college in America. So it isn't like, you know, it's like $10,000 a year or something. It was a lot of money. And we couldn't reach our lawyer. Our lawyer wasn't responding. Our Board of Education had no interest in funding that school for a second year. And at the end of October, in not a very smooth transition, I had to take her out of that private school because we couldn't pay for it. And so we started homeschooling her. Now, for a variety of reasons, it's not the worst thing for my kid. It can't go on next year because this is a social animal. I have an extrovert daughter. She needs to be in a school. But for now, it's an okay transition. We got outstanding Zoom homeschooling, and we take her to an occupational therapy center, which is immaculate, terrific, great, all of that. We've worked it out, but yes, you're right. A lawyer would be exactly right if they would return the call. And Lauren, thank you for calling from New Jersey. This has been exciting. What have we learned tonight? We've learned why it is that Tartaria has been wiped off the face of the earth, why it doesn't exist on any maps. We learned exactly what we should expect from President Trump in revealing the UFOs and the information about UFOs that our government has. We learned why is it that the doors in these Beaux-Arts palaces, government buildings, churches are 9 and 10 feet high. Why are those entranceways 9 and 10 feet high? Oh, because there were giants on Earth till about 1900. Where are their skeletons? Probably hidden in the basement of the Smithsonian. Michelle Gibson, I can't thank you enough. Ross Coulthart, spectacular. Great information. Tomorrow night, Dave Scott, an abductee who has additional information about what we can expect from the government in terms of UFO reveals. And I have an email. Oh, my God. I can't believe this email. Walter.Sterling at WABC Radio. Walter.Sterling at WABC Radio. And what else? What else? That's enough. I think you've learned enough tonight. I think we've covered enough territory. Much of this will be on the exam, and there will be a pop quiz tomorrow night. I'll be here tomorrow night and every Saturday and Sunday night if people continue to have a sense of humor. This is the Red Apple Audio Network.
Rural Americans deserve access to the best of what our country has to offer, especially health care. Across every state, every community, America's rural hospitals are the first line of defense, protecting our families, neighbors, and loved ones. No matter where you live, hospital care doesn't clock out. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Each year, America's over 5,000 hospitals care for millions of patients, providing 24/7 emergency care, delivering babies, cancer treatments, and other life-saving care that patients rely on. Behind every one of those patients are doctors, nurses, and caregivers working tirelessly to keep people healthy and safe. Hospitals are our community's lifelines. They employ our neighbors and keep our families healthy. But now, some in Congress are threatening access to care. Tell Congress, protect patient care to keep America strong. Don't cut rural health care.